you'd like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Caller, you're live on Good Morning.
Sorry, you startled me. I was laying on the phone.
Well, that's what we do. We startle people.
Yeah. Why did I call you again? Censorship. I called because you brought up the issue of censorship.
Okay.
A while ago. And basically, I believe you said that you...
You have your radio on, don't you?
My radio?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I was listening to the radio.
Okay, don't do that.
Turn it off?
Turn it off.
How's that?
That's good.
Okay.
So what do you think should happen to Don Imus?
Crimes happen on the radio every day as far as disgrace on the airwaves. For example, the last 2 weeks on the radio every day at about 3 o'clock, a crime has been committed on the public airwaves. Now, what's worse? Somebody saying one thing or somebody about 2 weeks ago? This has been the worst 2 weeks in radio that I've ever heard in my life. If somebody were to come up with, say, one thing, for example, a joke about a wet T-shirt contest, and use the same joke every day at 3 o'clock on the dot as though it was new, and say, this is the...
Okay, now, how did you determine this joke was said at 3 o'clock every day?
Oh, because it was Joe Ardinger making an ass out of himself.
Okay.
On Mike Show.
Well, all right, but I'm asking you, how did you know that he was doing this?
I was listening.
Oh, you were listening. So you're an idiot, basically. You were listening. You were there. This guy's getting good. He's trying to slip in there, and he does. There we go.
Oh, God.
All right, let's start.
On my multicultural project.
A C minus, huh? Well, let's celebrate. Hi, Brian Day. Empty out the tub. We's making room.
Can't use the tub. I'm drowning rats in it.
Still? Are you drowning them or making love to them?
Oh, is everybody happy?
Is everybody happy?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, excuse my French, but I am P.O.'d.
No need to be mad. French. We're back.
What not?
Oh, no.
What not?
Oh.
What not? What not? What not?
I am.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is it, the part of the show where we figure out where all the settings are with all the stuff. We've been gone for a couple of weeks.
We're live today.
Yes, we are, Don and Mike Show. We're back. Hi, Little Brains.
Hey.
We're Little Brains just like you are. Phone number, same as it was a couple of weeks ago, 877-365-3636. It's a party. Come on, Eileen. Everybody. Hello, test 1-2.
You won't mind.
Excuse me. I should have done this before the show.
Why?
Hello.
Are you adjusting the microphone levels?
Yeah, I just figured out in our brand new pristine studios where we are the only ones that use the equipment and stuff.
Right.
Joe was using this last week, right?
He only likes to use your mic.
There you go.
He didn't use mine, did he, Rob?
No, I did.
Give me one moment.
I was wondering what that smell was.
Hello, test one. Uh-huh. Test one. What a beautiful radio voice. Hello. Hello. Hello.
All right, you ready for my check? My mic check, or is my mic check all right?
Your mic is fine, but go ahead, Mike.
Every corporation has its champion dinner. I'm sorry. To apologize. That was self-indulgent. I've been indulging myself for 2 weeks.
Just had to do a very quick microphone check there, and now let's do a quick check on this thing right here. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Oh, it's a caller.
It's a caller.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, God. Hi there.
Hi. I just, I had to talk to you guys first without anyone else. How about the Sopranos last night?
How about The Sopranos last night?
I'm giving it a round of applause.
We're back from 2 weeks, and that's the first thing that you can say. Turn off that music, please. That's the first thing you can say?
I have a very sad existence, so that was the hype.
Bye!
Listen.
Is there, do you take any solace in the fact that you were the first one on the show to start watching that program years and years ago?
Mike, The Sopranos is so not what we should be discussing after we have been gone for 2 entire weeks.
It hasn't been that long.
Yeah. This is what we should be discussing.
He has his own song now?
He sure does. Who cares about Tony Soprano? Zengina. I want to tell you something. I was out of the United States of America on a foreign island where you could get every cable channel in the world except Fox.
Uh-oh.
And if you don't think that I was out of my mind crazy.
You couldn't watch the Idol?
No, I figured out that for an incredibly large...
Okay, let's turn that off, too.
For an incredibly large sum, I could get updates on my cell phone.
Oh, God, that's ridiculous.
That is pathetic.
You didn't do that, did you?
I did. Of course.
Oh, God, that is gay.
I did until I finally figured out that I could spend the same amount of money and just call Rob and have Rob call me with the results immediately.
So you both weeks, I completely ignored it the first week I was gone.
You were not at your phone on Wednesday night as you promised. Did you get the message?
Yeah, didn't get reception.
Oh, okay.
Did not get reception. Did get the message, though.
Live, baby. It was brought to you live.
So the first week we were gone, the fat kid got voted off.
Chris Sly.
And then the second week, I saw that one, and that was Gina.
Yeah,
and then went Gina with the tongue guy. Stud.
And I was just kidding. Of course, we'll talk about the Sopranos today. Everyone's, you know, the Sopranos are like cowboy hats. Everyone's got one.
Yes.
Because, you know, opinions are like cowboy hats. Everybody's got one. And opinions are like a-holes in cowboy hats. Everyone's got one.
Anytime a popular television show can work Canada into the script, I'm watching.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Don, Mike.
Yeah, hello.
Welcome back. Hi. Hey, there was that fire that was in Sacramento, right?
What, the one a couple of weeks ago, you mean? The railroad fire? Yes, sir.
Well, I was the one that did it. And
hey, you want to really measure your words, my friend. You know,
think about what you're saying
is, you know, could be damaging. Don, I believe you have a record of his phone number, don't you?
I sure do, Mike.
Mm-hmm. We've got an arsonist on the phone.
It's a felony, I believe.
And we're just not going to Sacramento, Michael Mara. But we're going to go. And all right.
What's the accent? You detect the hint of the accent?
And we're going to go all the way back to Sacramento, take back the capital.
I have no idea what this guy's even talking about.
Because it was kind of like a, here's on Sacramento, Michael Mara. Michael Mara.
So are you calling to confess to setting the railroad fire in Sacramento?
No, it was just a joke.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Good joke.
Hey, I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Good joke.
Hey, thanks.
Good joke.
Okay.
Quot not.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up?
Yes.
Don, but I just wanted to call and wish you guys back. Thanks for coming back. I was sick and tired of listening to Joe every day.
Joe's taking a beating early in the broadcast.
Yeah, thank you, my friend.
Hey, I love listening to you guys.
Thanks.
You know, I go to your restaurant all the time, Mike Manassas, so welcome back.
All right, see you later.
So right away, it's a violation.
What's a violation?
Right away, I got to go. Because he mentions my joint, I got to go to the principal's office.
Oh, thanks. Look around, cafe.
Thanks.
You didn't realize that. Well, hi, everybody. It is great to be back after 2 glorious weeks away. Let me see. Gosh, while we were gone, my kid, Bart, turned 22.
Wow. 22
Saying
years
happy
young.
Happy birthday to him. And today is my granddaughter, Addie's birthday. She's 6 today.
All these things, all these milestones.
All of these crazy things are happening now. And I guess what we should do is start the show by talking about what we did,
mm-hmm.
because I do have some stuff.
Sure.
Even though the phone rates where I was, it was one of those deals where you get to, we went to Jamaica,
right.
And you get there. And, you know, the first thing they say is, hi, welcome to Jamaica. Never leave this compound.
Right.
Welcome to Jamaica.
Isn't that what you like about it, though?
Yeah. They got big barbed wire up everywhere. And you're pretty much stuck inside this big hotel complex.
That's right. Good.
As I was, as it turns out, for 11 wonderful days.
But they got everything you need.
Yeah. And they also say, hey, listen, we supply cell phone service. All you got to do is just, you know, push this button on your phone. And you don't realize it at the time because you're going crazy with it.
It's not until like the next day when you get the thing under your door that says, thanks for signing up for the phone thing.
Right.
Incidentally, you know, your second mortgage on your house is just gone for the phone call you tried to make to Buzz yesterday from the pool.
Right. Do you get the email also down there? Do you get the email in Jamaica?
You yeah. could. I chose not to.
Okay.
I chose not to.
That's wise.
I did have the cell phone and yanked it out on the very first day because right out of the chute, I don't know what it is about me, about us, about Janet and I traveling together. I don't know. Mm. It's like a no-pest strip, a shall no-pest strip for weirdos.
Yeah.
We get down to the pool. It's the very first day. Uh-huh. We're in beautiful Jamaica. All right. We want to do is have our rum beverage, sit by the pool, got our iPods, got a beautiful spot, first day, glorious sunshine, 85. Nothing could be wrong with this day. We get our spot. I get up to go get us a couple of cool drinks. Some nice pina colada action.
Gotta have that.
I come back, and by the time I come back, there's some guy, I swear to God, celebrity he most resembles, Morton Downey Jr.
I wish people on the radio could see your face when you said some guy.
Some guy. It was really...
some guy.
You know, I couldn't be happier.
You know.
We're there. We're 8 million miles away from everything. I leave her for, seriously, 5 minutes to go over to the little tiki bar to get a drink.
Just fine.
And I come back. And there's this guy with his man boobs and his big fake teeth. Really looks like Morton Downey Jr., the late Morton Downey Jr.
Is he tanned?
He's way tanned.
Oh, I hate way tanned guys.
And hold on a second. This is why I had the issue. I walk up and I see this guy chatting up my girlfriend. Well, we've been there less than 10 minutes. But like, all right. This is how it is when you're a social person.
Right.
I get up to where they are. I sit down and she says, hey, this is ass, and I shake hands with him, and then he says to me, first thing he says...
He made a great impression.
Well, the first thing he said is, so are you guys hedos? And...
Hedos.
Yes, and I said, pardon? He said, hedos.
Excuse me?
Are you hedos? Yes. And
hedos.
I said, I
know what that is.
Yeah.
Do you?
Hedonists. Yeah, right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, oh that's right. Buzz knew not. Did you guess like I did?
No, he knew because...
Did you really know?
Been there three times.
Because I tried to... he's the guy that I tried to call for some advice about.
Well, you
this
didn't
guy.
Go to that place in Jamaica.
No.
Didn't you go to... Isn't that place in Jamaica, though, the place we sent Dennis?
Yes, now...
Hedonism?
Let me give you the background on this. As this scuzzy guy, you know, all oiled up, and he's got the Long Island chains around his neck.
Oh, and he's like got the real tan.
And really,
it grosses me out. A guy's tan goes to a certain level where it gets gross after, right?
I think Morton Downey Jr. And this is the first cat that I've come in contact with one-on-one during the relaxing time on vacation.
So if you want to update that, does he look a little bit like the guy that sells the Angus burger? The Burger King Angus?
Yes.
Get the Angus. You know that guy?
Yeah,
that guy with the
similar.
Teeth?
Yes. Shirtless.
Yeah. Of
course. Glistening.
Jamaica. He's a hedo.
Yeah, she says, hey.
Ooh, hedo.
Jerry, whatever the guy is. Jerry. Is
Jerry.
Yeah, I said, hey, how you doing? And he says, so are you guys, are you hedos? And I went, excuse me? And Janet looked at me and she said, he means are we into hedonism? And I looked at him and I give him my best F-U look. Like, I said, gee, I really don't think we're into that. He said, well, you know, my wife is down here on a trip. With her work, we normally come down here to stay at Hedonism. We normally don't stay at this place that we're at
this
right
is
now.
The first catch.
I
Jesus,
swear to,
what bad luck.
I swear to God. And then the guy says to me.
Or is it?
The guy.
The guy Buzz.
The guy who, like, will not stop just pruning and preening in front of us. And he's got, like, a belly as big as mine.
He's a big guy?
He's got the old man chicken legs happening.
What type
you know?
Of suits he got on? He's not wearing the Speedo, is he?
No, he's just got a regular, like...
Regular suit.
Like, a, you know, Tommy Bahama or whatever.
So right out of the chute, that you guys hedos.
Yeah, and he can tell that I'm uptight about it. And Janet, who's sitting there like Mary Poppins, you could walk up and say anything to her, and she'd go, oh, that's wonderful.
Bring him back to your room where you got Chris Hansen in the closet.
I go to sit down, and I'm trying to blow the guy off, right? I said, well, it's nice to meet you. I guess we'll see you around the pool.
Yeah.
And I turn my back to him, and I give Jenna a look like, what the frick? You know, nice going. First guy. I put the drink in her face, and I turn around, and the guy has not turned his back yet. He's still looking at me, and he says, you know, hedonism, it's not really what you think. And I said, oh, really? He said, it's really just nudity. He said, I like going with all of our best friends. We're friends with maybe 75 or 80 people.
Yeah, and you might as well look at all their genitals.
And all you really do is socialize, and you just socialize in the nude.
Right.
And I said,
happy vacation.
Swear to God, first day, I said, why are you telling me this? He said, well, you look like a young, fun couple. Maybe you recently married on a second honeymoon or something down here. Thought you might. I said, no. The answer to everything is no. Thank you, but no thank you. It's very nice to meet you.
With absolutely no offense, I mean, he's targeting our age group, which should tell you probably what hedonism is probably filled with.
And I know what's going on here, okay? I mean, it's not like you got to look at me and said, oh, boy, my wife's just got to have a piece of that ass.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's looking at my girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she says to me, Janet says, shh, you're making a scene. I said, I'm not making a scene. It's just, I don't want the hedonism guy hitting on us, so let's just have a seat.
Are there other non-pervs around the pool?
Well, as it turns out, we've got like a chlamydia corner where we're sitting, because before we know it, there's like four or five other people that are coming over. They're friends who they've met on other trips down to Jamaica.
That's how it starts.
And if I thought this guy and his wife, who was a very much a cougar, were gross, you had to wait until Tiny came over. There's this guy, had to be maybe 400 pounds, with like one of those sailor hats, like the kind that Gilligan wore.
Okay.
All
right.
Like a
sloppy, floppy hat.
Yeah, and it's got a string around the chin.
It's got a string?
Yeah. And he's incredibly fat.
He's not a hedo, is he?
Yeah.
Oh,
we are sitting there.
Is he tan, too?
No, he's pasty white.
Oh,
he's one of these guys. He will not go in the pool without his shirt on.
His T-shirt.
He's one of these guys. He's got his white beater on.
Oh, he's got a white beater.
He comes rolling up in his big red white beater and his little white Gilligan hat. And right away, he's looking at this guy like Jerry, like,
hey, long lost friend. If only we could both drop trow right now. We'd be so happy.
And before you know it, they've multiplied, and there's like eight of them. And I get the feeling for the entire first day that we're there that all they're doing is sizing up Janet and trying to figure out how to get us into their group, because they kept, as they would like go to the bar or go to the beach or go to the pool, they kept going by. And even though I was giving off a distinct vibe that was like, dude, leave us alone. It's like this guy, every time would walk by, hey, how you guys doing?
Oh,
weather nice
so
enough for you?
Creepy.
Each of you got your own iPod,
Jesus.
Huh? Wow, that's really great. What book are you reading? So, where are you from?
Yeah.
Like, creepy city. So,
like, too friendly.
Yeah.
Like, predator friendly.
It was at that point that I picked up the phone, and I called the only person that I knew with any experience about this. I tried to call Buzz.
Just so he could give you some pointers on how to...
I wasn't there to help.
First,
Buzz wouldn't be able to give you any pointers on how to reject them.
That's right.
He'd give you pointers on how to join them.
On embracing them. How to find them.
That's right.
So I called, and Buzz
knows
there.
All about that Caribbean air.
Absolutely.
Spoke about it with Marcia a little bit.
Crazy thing.
And then for the rest of the trip.
Hedos.
These people, they were everywhere. It seems anytime we went anywhere in the hotel, we'd walk around and go, oh, there they are again.
Did you ever get a strange itching sensation when you get out of the pool?
No, but they were creepy, and they were definitely on the prowl.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the games we would play, listen, when you're at a place where you don't go anywhere, all you do is go down to the pool or go to the beach every day,
right.
You got plenty of time to sit around and goof on people, and after a while you kind of get to know people and you give them names,
right.
And you watch them and you see what they're doing. We noticed as we would see a young couple come in, like a typical young, buff, Long Island guy, like a longshoreman guy who's there on his honeymoon or whatever with his piece of ass girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
You would see right away, these two would go...
They just attack?
Just go swarming over there. And they would have big groups of people, all of them in big sing-alongs, where they'd be singing Cheeseburger in Paradise while they're having their, you know, drinking their 8,000th Corona of the day.
Was this about the time in Jamaica where you decided to find a firearm? Or what day did you give in?
Thus,
no way he gives in.
No firearm, and no way that I gave in.
Not my pal. He's
no
not
way.
Giving in.
No way that
you
I
you don't
gave
give
in
to that crap.
Crazy all I did. Here's all I did.
Well, but I would wonder when you had a few cocktails under your belt, if you maybe...
Mike, I did make friends.
Softened.
I did make friends, but not with them. I will tell you what I did in protest, though.
Why?
When we would see them out in the pool, hitting on a new couple,
yeah.
What I would do is go get a raft and just go out by where they are, and I would go and pee in the pool.
That fixed them.
I would.
That showed him.
I swear to God. I go grab one of those floaty mats.
Oh, no.
I go out by the middle of the pool. I'd wave at Jan. She's sitting at the chair. I just wave at her like, okay, it's happening now.
Oh, dear.
I go back. She goes,
we call that the silent protest.
Yeah, that's
the silent protest. As close to them as you could.
Sometimes literally like 1 foot away.
Where they would feel warmth.
I don't think they were capable of feeling it.
Jeepers creepers.
Thank God you didn't have to take it to the next level.
Yeah, Baby Ruth time.
Exactly.
That's, that's when they have to
sir?
That's when they have to clean out the pool.
And I never thought I would say this about going somewhere.
Yeah.
But there were some chicks that were there from Europe who really should not be going topless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound like a homo here. I love women. I love naked women. I love breasts.
Mm-hmm.
I love breasts more than anything.
You've made that clear.
But when you get some chick that looks like Anna Kournikova's came out the wrong end sister, just that Euro trash,
skinny, floppy, what? I mean, just not...
Dirty, just dirty.
But overweight or old
what? No, here's the thing. You had the mom.
Yeah.
The mom who seriously... Celebrity she most resembled was Phil from The Sopranos. She was from Italy. She was an older woman. She had to be maybe 55.
Low forehead.
She had the shortest haircut, which was just like Phil's. You know that that salt and pepper look he's got?
Okay.
She was in the pool with just a wife beater on, where you could see her big, gigantic old woman nipples coming through the shirt.
Uh-huh. How old would you estimate her to be?
Oh, 55.
Okay. All right.
And then as she got out of the pool, Janet said to me, oh, my gosh, look at her daughter. And her daughter, who appeared to be in her 20s,
mm-hmm.
stood up and took off her top and sat down and started to sun herself. And while this may sound erotic...
So far it does. There's nothing you're telling me that's not making it erotic.
All I can say is you'd have to see the girl.
The young girl?
You'd have to see the young girl. And then...
I'm just confused by your description of her, you know... Anna Kournikova is kind of a hottie.
I'm saying Anna Kournikova coming out the other end.
Right.
Anal Kournikova.
Not worth it, though. You're saying didn't really, even at the very first when she took the top off.
No, and I'll tell you why.
Nothing happened.
Because she made Kelly Ripa look big.
Oh, really? Okay, gotcha.
She had barely anything happening, and hello, no shaving under the armpit.
Jeez.
So she's sitting there like putting her arms up in the air going, and then her mom gets out of the pool. And her mom, who looks like Phil from The Sopranos, takes her shirt off, just peels this thing off over the top of her head. So you've got like an old...
So there's topless action at the pool, but it's not worth looking at.
Oh, it's not hot at all. As a matter of fact...
But you're drinking it in, aren't you, with your mirrored sunglasses?
Of course I am. To tell you how not hot it is, there were a bunch of guys... You know, I should bring in some of these pictures tomorrow and put them on our website.
Please.
There were a bunch of... I call them boys. They were men. They worked for Owens Corning Fiberglass out of Boston.
Okay.
And there was a group of about six of them in the pool on this company retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I jumped in the pool with them just because what the hell. They were drinking and having a good time in the pool. So I jumped in with them and ended up spending, I think, 5 hours in the pool with them. Never left the pool once. You would just swim to the edge where the bartender was, and then you'd get your next big Jamaican me crazy drink, and you'd swim back
out. Did you have any new flavors, any new beverages of choice?
I tried everything.
You did?
I tried everything.
Tried all the foo-foo drinks?
I tried Blue Thunder.
What do you like?
Of course, Pina Colada. Of course, your mudslide.
Strawberry daiquiri, that type of thing.
Had pineapple juice and rum. That was pretty much, you know, wake up in the morning, you have that. First thing.
Hair of the dog, Lloyd.
First thing. But at one point, I was in the pool with all of these...
Insulation guys.
I was calling them boys, but they were men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had the whole pop the car thing, and they had the whole Red Sox thing happening.
You know, New Englanders, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, gotta love them.
So we're really bonding, and, you know, and at one point, it just felt so weird. I said, how old are you guys? They're like, 24, man. Jesus Christ, I'm almost 50. I'm getting drunk in the pool with all these.
Yeah, but you know, that's proper that you're hanging out with the, you know, you're youthful.
And they were the barometer as we were sitting in the pool having these many drinks. At one point, I said to them, "Have you guys seen the topless chick?" And they all said, "Oh, yeah, oh, gross. My God, is she gross."
So you did some male bonding when you were down there.
Oh, yeah, I did a lot. On that day, I did a lot of stuff with those guys.
That's cool. That's good. Well, you had somebody to bounce it off of.
And then, like,
so to speak.
Every once in a while, you know, you'd be walking around the hotel, you see one of those guys, and what was the nickname they gave one of them? Muffin Top? Because the top of his head looked like a muffin.
So, hey, Muffin Top.
So I would see this guy in the hotel lobby, and we were staying at a foo-foo place, right? Uh-huh. I would see this guy in the lobby, celebrity he most resembled, seriously, John Belushi in Animal House. I would scream out, "Yo, Muffin Top!" He'd turn around and go, "Hey, who wants a drink?"
So they're doing the corporate outing down there?
Yeah.
Oh, so they're partying hardy.
And here's another reason they were good friends.
Wow.
At one point, I don't know, after I had been in the pool with them just long enough to be totally wrinkled and shriveled, I said something like, "I'll buy the next round. I'll buy the next round." And they said, no, your money's no good here. And I said, "Why?" And they said, "We are here on an all-inclusive with our business." So these guys also hooked me up. I would be sitting down by the pool, and they would just come over and go, "Hey, how you doing? You want some drinks?" I go, "Sure."
Oh, that's nice of them.
Sure.
So it's on the company.
So they
probably were being rewarded. That's why they were down there.
They could not have been nicer, and I tried everything I could to get them laid on more than one occasion.
Were there any hotties at this point? I have not heard a hottie report yet. No.
Not really.
No hotties. No. Well, you said the young couple that
all
showed up.
It was spring break week, so
yeah.
There was a lot of family, a lot of little kids there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of single moms were there, you know, sitting by the pool, you know, being mad about their lives. I had a lot of time to analyze people.
Oh, yeah. The angry sonners that you see.
It was
serious business.
There was one in particular that just called Mother of the Year. She was on the same plane, on the same flight as we were going down to Jamaica. And she looked like someone had just taken a 2x4 and shoved it right up there before she got on the plane. She was just sitting there so rigid, and she had her two little kids behind her. And the entire flight, here's how she spent the entire flight, turning around over her left shoulder to go, "Shh, quiet, don't talk." Then she turned back around, and one of the kids would do something. She'd go, "Shh, shh, hey, hey, no, no. Mom told you, no, no." And now, on one hand, I appreciate the fact that you're trying to get these little monsters under control.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, these kids were not doing a thing. They were not doing a thing. We got off the plane, and I started saying to Jan, "Can you imagine the torture that these kids are going to have? They're going away for a week with Mommy. God, I only hope that she's going to a place where she signs them up, where they take care of the kids."
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine being with this lady for an entire week. Well, lo and behold, she's staying at the same joint. And she's not one of these moms that wants to send her kid off to the, you know, go be with the hotel staff for a day.
Oh. Right.
But what she wants to do is sit by the pool and read her book and constantly keep an eye on her children. And constantly just do like this thing where you go, that's a very loud pool.
Yeah.
Yelling, screaming, reggae music, people getting drunk. Meanwhile, you've got this one uptight ice lady who's sitting by the pool, 85 degrees, and she's wearing, like, layers of clothing out there. Underneath a...
Is she very untanned?
A big umbrella, yes.
not a hito.
She is definitely not a hito.
The opposite of a hito.
And all she's doing is sitting by the edge of the pool, waiting for her kids to do anything,
mm-hmm.
anything at all. And she gives that little... Oh, and Muffin Top actually said something to her.
Oh, really?
Because at one point,
the Belushi lookalike.
I'm in the pool with these boys, and somebody figured out, you know what we should try to do? We should try to, because they had snorkels. What we should do is go under the water, put the snorkel thing in your mouth, and have somebody pour drinks into the snorkel part.
Sure.
So you're drinking water.
Chance of loss of life, but I mean, you know, it's a good risk.
Underwater drinking.
But there was a lifeguard there.
You can suck it down. You know, you might have some choking.
So anyway, everybody's trying this, and it's a lot of fun.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I did.
And did it work?
Loved it.
I think you just established a summertime game.
A little bit of it came out of my nose, but what are you
I would imagine
do?
That would work better with the regular drinks than the frozen drinks.
Yeah.
Well, probably couldn't do it with like a frozen pina colada.
What I did to one of those lads was, while he was underwater,
right.
They poured in like part of a mudslide, then part of a Bloody Mary, then part of a Jamaican Me Crazy.
Oh.
And amazingly, he stood underwater, and it was like he came up, after all this crap went into the snorkeling equipment. It's like, wow, that was great. I was ready to throw up just looking at it.
Does the pool have a good skimmer?
No. They did have a problem. The next to the last day that we were there, there was an issue.
Too much urine?
No, there was an issue, Buzz.
Okay. This pH is off dramatically, especially right over where these hedonists are.
There was an issue with sewage, and the pool area was closed the last day that we were there.
They have, I think, I don't know whether it's a new test, but they test pools now. And there was a little kid down where I was that they shut it down. They'll close it down for a whole day. They have to decontaminate it, right?
Yeah, so that's what they were doing. But before
that
happened,
gross. There was did you have kids in the pool?
Tons of kids. I was swimming in a big giant petri dish. Mm-hmm. And there was a hot tub that I refused to go in because it was broken every day that we were there. And still people would sit in it. You know,
hot tubs gross me out anyway.
By the end, the water is just looking dark, you know,
gray.
Dark,
it's like
dark, olive green.
It's totally human soup.
But when I was in the pool with these lads from Boston, and right around the time that the snorkel drinking started happening, the mother...
That, you know, we're blaming the kids on the E. coli, when it's probably the snorkel drinking that caused it. You know?
The ice lady, one of her kids is getting incredibly, by her terms, close to the behemoths in the pool.
Okay.
The kid is like getting, I don't know, 10 feet like 10 feet away from us.
Right.
She goes with the Roberto or whatever, you know. Roberto. And this guy Muffin Top stands right up in the pool and looks at her and goes, "Hey, lady, you want a drink?"
See, he gets away with it, doesn't he? Because he's friendly.
Too funny.
She didn't dig it, though.
Too funny. She packed up her little kids, put them all in the little towel, and got them all wrapped up and took them away. And the whole time, he's standing there going, he's a big, sloppy, fat guy, got his stupid Red Sox hat on in the water.
Hey.
And he's holding up a drink in each hand.
He's saying, wearing his Sox cap in the water?
Yeah.
I like him already.
And he's saying to her, "What are you doing? Come on. Get in the pool with us." And he's saying, "You can hear me. Look at me."
Good for him.
I about fell out.
Well, it sounds like this place, which was a little foo-foo, these guys added a little, down-home charm to it.
And then we invited them for maybe the best time of their lives. I've been to this place one other time, this particular resort, and... Just because I can. I bought the fanciest place that they had to stay there, which gave me a total of, not that I was counting, but 7 decks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
7 decks, full kitchen.
7 decks.
Big, gigantic dining room.
Like wooden decks where you go down to the beach or something like that?
It was up on the fourth floor. I mean, wrap around decks.
Okay. Wow, that's very cool.
I had the entire top floor of one of the little pyramids.
Right.
And so I mentioned this to these boys, and they came up, these men, and you know, it was like a bunch of 5-year-olds walking in. They're like, "Oh my God, this is mega wicked! This is so wicked!" And, you know, they're doing stuff like, Janet came in from the other room. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "My friends from Boston are here."
Did they come right up from the pool?
Yeah. Well, see, I had seen them down at the pool. I was on one of my many decks.
"Hey, Muffin Top, I'm up here."
So the next thing, they're all up there with us. And I was worried at one point they were hanging over the deck.
Didn't want a fatality.
Trying to see if they could see each other. Anyway, we had a good time. We spent about 2 hours that night in the room, and the next day when we got up, Janet said to me, she said, "Did you have a lot to drink last night?" I said, "Of course I did." And she said, No. "Did you get anything out of the minibar?" Now, in this place that we were staying, because there were so many rooms, there were like a total maybe of 4 different minibars.
Right.
Turns out these lads
had raided.
Yes.
Done a little raiding, but probably with your permission, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, let's say that.
Don't really remember.
All the beer gone.
Everything gone, Mike.
Everything gone.
The little cans of Pringles, gone. Every little bottle of booze. It was like Jack Daniels, Appleton rum, maybe some kind of vodka. They took everything. They had this little
Were they gone the next day?
No. This is what's so funny. They had like this little shoe shine kid that was like $8. Uh-huh. They took that too.
Wow.
So I thought, like you did, the worst, right? And I thought, oh, well, you know, those guys were so nice, but look at this. They came up here and cleaned us out, for God's sake.
They were effing with you.
No, so the next day I see one of them down by the pool, and like, and he's like, hey, dude, how are you? You want to get a burger? I'm like, what did you cats do in my room? So he said, oh, yeah. He said, you said we could. And I,
well,
and
there
I,
you are.
And I said,
you probably should take everything.
I said, did I really?
And clean it out.
He said, that's pretty much, he said, oh, he said, don't you,
I know how you are.
He said, don't you remember? He said, you even went in the other room and gave them that big laundry bag and told them to fill up the bag and pretend that they were Santa Claus.
This man's had a few cocktails.
So friendly.
Oh,
beware.
What a great vacation.
Wow.
Really, what a great vacation.
And good guys from Boston you were hanging out
Lots
with.
Lots of good guys. And another fun thing that I had with them and a couple other people. Big mistake when you go to a nice place or any place. We're sitting by the pool the first day that we were there, and they were looking for somebody. They were looking for, and I wrote it down, last name, Benedict, room 1333.
Hmm.
Now, this is a problem when you're walking around a pool going, looking for Benedict, room 1333. Because right away, I look at Janet, and I say, I dare you. She says, I dare you. I said, all right, voila. I go up to the bar. I order a couple of drinks. What room? 1333.
Benedict.
The name is Benedict.
So I'll have some eggs.
So everybody was doing it.
Charging it to Benedict.
So the Benedicts were the recipients of a rather large bill.
Yeah, and I had such a great time. I don't even have...
But you have $14,000 in mini bar charges, so it doesn't really matter.
Maybe the only even bad thing that I can tell you is, gosh, not even a fight with Janet. It was she was looking somewhere in the hotel. It's something, some vase they had in this hotel, and she asked somebody where she could buy one, and they gave her one.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, it's a nice big vase. They bring it up to the room, and this thing is just big, gigantic vase. Mm. And I tried on more than one occasion to say, "Hey, you should ask somebody about shipping that thing back home."
Right.
You know, I'd be glad to see about shipping that. We can like DHL that thing back home. Mm-hmm. Well, she never picked up on the hint, and then the day we were leaving, she's got this big, big-ass, gigantic vase. And I said, what are you doing with that? And she said, I'm going to bring it on the plane. And I said, oh, no. I said, God, I hate people like that. I hate people like that get on an airplane and they bring in, like, a television set that they bought a box or something.
Probably only a real big problem if they fill it full of mouthwash or styling gel.
So we had, you know, as close as we're going to have to a fight about it,
mm-hmm.
where I finally said, well, we...
Right at the end?
Yeah. We should just ship this thing. No, not like
no
that, fifth. Right?
You
didn't hit her?
Did you give her what for?
Just words.
Okay.
Just words.
Just words.
And anyway, amazingly,
yeah.
You know, we ended up doing what I thought was right.
You shipped it?
We shipped it back home.
That's the right thing to do.
Shipped it back home.
Is it pretty?
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, the only reason I even bring it up is that it was the only bone of contention that I had.
That's not bad.
And I'm so thrilled that in 12 days, because really, when you go away with someone and you can't go anywhere except on the grounds of this hotel because it's so mm-hmm. scary to leave, and I mean, you're spending every second mm-hmm. with her. It was a real chance to find out if, you know, if we hated each other or if everything.
Yeah, it's a real tester.
So it was great. And it was just right at the very end. And as she left the room and slammed the door and went downstairs to ship it, I got to tell you, I went out on the deck and I thought, oh, this is really a good feeling. And not the fact that we had a fight.
Right. But you had a fight and you've moved by it.
No. The fact that she ended up doing what I wanted her to.
It's a win.
I'm really not used to that.
It's a W.
I'm really not used to that.
That's a total victory.
So it was like,
and it also, I mean, the fact that she didn't do it necessarily happily is an even better feeling.
That's what I'm not used to that.
Yeah.
So she came back up to the room and she was still a little mad, and I found myself going, oh, well, she can be mad about it. Lola. And everything ended up being so very cool. And the only problem was when we arrived back to America, getting off the plane, of course, everyone's luggage shows up except for mine. So we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting.
So of course.
Thought they had lost the luggage. Finally, half an hour after everyone else has left the screening area, the customs area, they roll my bag out, and they say, okay, you're good to go. We say, thank you very much. And we get to the very end, and the guy says to Janet, you're fine to leave. He says to me, you got to go to to Gate C, to Line C. I know.
Wow.
I know what this is right away.
What?
When we went to Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
How many years ago was that?
9 years ago.
Well, we got caught with Cuban.
Probably a little less time. Probably seven years ago.
We got caught with Cuban cigars coming through at BWI Airport.
Yeah.
And they wrote us all up and everything. And goddamn, if I don't get flagged for that every friggin' time. So
I was relieved. You were uptight, but I was relieved because they got the cigars, but they didn't get the hashish that I had wrapped around my chest. Yeah.
Now,
like in
close.
Midnight Express.
Hold on.
Close.
This is the thing with Janet that just flipped me out. So this is like the last leg of our trip, and I'm very tired and hagged out and just trying to get through this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I step up in front of the TSA lady, very nice, and she says, "Have you been to Cuba recently?" And I said, "No." I said, "I know this is about Cuban cigars. Really, you can go through my bag. I don't have any Cuban cigars at all. I learned my lesson." And she said, "All right, fine. I appreciate it." She said, "You know, I tell you what, something at the end of a day like this, it would almost be worth it. It was something like heroin. I'm so tired of looking for stuff like Cuban cigars." She's just making conversation as I'm getting my little piece of paper. I go, "Okay, well, thanks." And as we walk past, Janet says, "Well, it's too bad we didn't have any heroin for you."
Nice and loud.
Yeah, and I grab
nice and like that. She didn't understand that the TSA person can make that joke.
Right.
It's probably not a good idea.
I grab her by the arm and I go, I go, "What are you doing?" She says, "We don't have any heroin." I said, I know, listen, please.
I can see Janet doing that. I really can. Yeah. I can see her doing that. You know, say goodnight, Gracie.
Crack my ass up.
Oh, my God.
So it was a very, very good trip.
Good.
Very outstanding trip.
Well, it sounds like you looked tanned and rested.
I got no complaints. And, my God, if you would have seen me last week when we got back, I swear to God, if I could have passed as a black man.
Uh-huh. You've still held on to your color.
Yeah but I was so dark.
You have the marks, the traditional sunglass marks.
Thursday last week, I was so dark. And this is with SPF 50 every day. I had SPFs.
You wear that much?
Sure. We were in the sun every day from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m.
And you don't like peel or anything, do you?
No.
You don't have that Irish blood.
This is our grueling schedule. Up at 8, get a little breakfast, be down at the pool to snag our spot, and be first in line at the bar at 9 a.m.
First in line.
First in line.
Oh, vacations go better with alcohol.
First in line. They
truly do.
You know, and like I said to more than one person, why are you hiding the fact that you're like milling around waiting for a drink? Be proud. Be like me.
Yes.
Be here at 8:58.
Did you have a watch on? Were you looking at it?
Yes.
That's the way to do it.
You know,
appear to be impatient.
And it was the pool bar, and it's the thing where the guys behind the bar, they just got that little chain link fence thing.
Were they good guys? Were they good bartenders? Did they like you, or were they frustrated that you were waiting?
No, they were real good guys.
Cool.
They would always, I'd walk in and say, "Hey, Mr. Mike, two more minutes."
Two more minutes.
Well, I guess I can handle it.
Two more minutes.
Omar, or whatever the hell your guy is. Your name is Guy, so...
2 minutes. That's the way it sounded.
That's it. And then, you know, like I told you, the big American Idol thing. Unfortunately, I was able to find out the information there. Thank God!
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Right.
And then got back and watched Sopranos and here now and...
Here we are.
That's it.
We're here.
That's it. I'm done.
We're queer. We're not going skiing.
That's pretty good.
That's it. So, I will see you guys.
Hey, listen, it's been good seeing you.
See you in July.
Always know you like to make the first day back a light one. Yeah. And
thanks for stopping by.
No problem at all. We have just a little more show to fill here.
Wow. I kind of went 100 miles an hour there. Sorry
all
about
right.
that.
No, well, that's what I do when you're not here. You didn't go nearly as fast as I do when you're not here. When I do that million miles an hour thing.
Filling time. Okay, well, I'm not just filling here. We could.
I know.
Go out break, and we'll come back.
All right.
Why am I doing this to myself?
I have no idea why you're giving
yourself a signal to break.
Time out signal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Take a time out.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be safe to say that I probably got in a few more altercations than usually it goes. That you usually have a few more little run-ins with people.
Had none.
Happy guy.
I actually, I didn't get into a fist fight, but I almost regret that I didn't. I'm still feeling the lack of satisfaction for not really hitting someone that deserved to be just knocked out, their ass, on like the local Red Sox cable television network. You know, because we were down close to the on deck circle.
You let it get to you.
I swear to God.
All right, well, good. I like hearing that. And I know that, Buzz, you had a great vacation, too, didn't you?
Maybe the best vacation I've ever had.
Really? What'd you do?
Didn't go anywhere. Had a bad cold or allergy or both. I'm not really sure. Went to dental appointments, painted some rooms in my house, and waited for the furnace guys to show up.
That's good.
And now I'm back here. Ready.
You know, I didn't mention that I learned something about me.
What's that?
I learned something about karma. This is very really? Eastern. This is very, very sophisticated. Very Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. It's that type of thing that you don't mock others.
Uh-huh.
Because if you mock others,
yeah,
it might just turn around within a 24-hour period.
Comes back.
And the same exact thing will happen to you.
All right, Tiger.
The same thing.
Wow.
We'll start with that when we come back.
Yeah. Anything you want. There are several things, you know. Carla catching me cleaning myself.
Oh, well, that's good. She knows you're into hygiene.
The compliment that I got in a women's clothing store that I'll never forget. And the fist fight.
All right, all that will come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This film was perhaps the worst film I have seen since Satan's Sandbox.
Well, see, Satan's Sandbox, come on, that's fun. That was just fun. You gotta just loosen up once in a while.
If I was that director, I would climb up on top of a Hollywood sign this moment, fall into the nearest bramble bush, and be eaten by raccoons.
Well, you know what? This director is one of the bravest directors I think to come around in a long time.
As I always say to my students, you can take a piece of crap and wrap it up in a big red bow, but at the end of the day, it is still a piece of crap wrapped in a big red bow.
Is this me or the movie?
Both.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow.
The Don and Mike Show.
Isn't there more than that?
Well spoken for white guys.
Uh-huh.
Don and Mike.
All right. We will talk about The Sopranos.
Yeah.
And you go to two movies on the break. Saw Grindhouse.
How was Grindhouse?
Loved it.
I gotta go see that one.
Loved it. Gotta give yourself over 3 hours for it.
Oh, really? A long one.
Yeah, and you're gonna love the middle part. The middle part with the coming attractions.
Right. I like me the Kurt Russell.
Fantastic. Also, have to say I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah. And
how was the skating movie? The number one movie in America for what, the third week in a row?
Uh-huh. Better than Ricky Bobby.
Really?
Wow. In the Will Ferrell trilogy, mm-hmm. It's Anchorman here.
Okay, yeah, that's top of the food
that's
chain.
The best. Then it would be, I don't know, 3/4 of the way down would be this one, and then Ricky Bobby underneath this one.
So Ricky Bobby being the worst, this is slightly better than Ricky Bobby.
It's kind of funny.
Oh.
Sorry.
You were skeptical.
I want to.
Well, hey, you're representing the majority.
I want to hate.
Popular
Will,
movie.
I want to hate Will Ferrell under the point.
Popular spring break movie.
In fact, I said before we went on break that this was it for him. But no, I'm sorry. He's still funny.
Not good.
He is still
and has Napoleon
funny.
In it.
It's Napoleon Dynamite. That's why he's good, too. That guy can't do anything except be Napoleon Dynamite.
But for everybody else that might not be the passionate Will Ferrell fan that you are, I mean, how would you...
Still funny.
Still funny.
Still funny.
Good morning.
Still funny. Lots of, gay stuff. Lots of gay stuff.
I never would have thought of that. When they're wearing the tight spandex outfit.
Gay.
I could drink a six-pack and watch it. You know, I mean, I'd look in on it. Like I did with Anchorman. You were right about Anchorman. Anchorman was very funny.
This was not as funny as Anchorman. Please don't think it's
funny. I have not succumbed to Ricky Bobby. I have not watched that on pay-per-view, DVD, or anything that it's out.
Yeah,
I
put it Anchorman, then Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory. Second to Old School?
Oh, no, hold on. I forgot about Old School.
You got to put Old School next to
it. But that's not really a Will Ferrell movie. I mean,
he's got a wonderful cameo in there.
What about Elf? God damn, Elf is good.
His filmography.
Elf.
His incredible body of work.
Night at the Roxbury.
Shut up. Anyway, Mike, thank you, Ralph. How was your trip?
Don, I'm a Floridian. I reside here for most of the year, but I belong there. I belong there for a variety of reasons. I belong there because my body is similar. In wear and tear and in shape to the average age down there. I feel comfortable with those people. They're my people.
But they're old.
They're average 30 to 40 years older than I am, and I'm, 20 years older than my girlfriend. And age means nothing to me. When I get off that plane in Florida.
She must have a really great time down
she
there.
She does.
She does. The last night we had a real wing ding. We had a really, we had a great show that we went to. It was fantastic. And she was, and not only did she enjoy herself, and she's not, and because Carla doesn't BS me, you know her, Don, she won't lie to me about it. If she's not, you know, happy, she's not going to mention it. Not only did she have a good time, but, yeah.
You better be careful at a wing ding. You may go bananas.
A wing ding. Thank you, Rob. Thanks. Thanks so much. But she had a great time, and the people down there, you know, that I hang out with had a good time with her. And, I mean, we're talking, let me see.
Now, the people you hang out with.
Carla would be 26.
Are the people you hang out with our age, her age, or Buzz's age?
We had dinner with a couple where the guy was 1 year younger than me one night. And that would have been
the closest,
the youngest human that we hung out with. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that we hung out with are 40 and 50 years older than Carla. No, I'm kidding. 30 and 40 years. No, 25 to 30 years. 25 to 35 years
so
older
like
than Carla. 60.
They're like
60. 60s to 70s. You know, I mean, you don't pay attention because really, this is the truest thing in the world. What do you mean? You don't pay attention down there because everybody's old down there where I live. And the condition of people, I mean, my best friend down there, the guy that I hang out with, the guy that I actually see every time I go down there and we go out for a bunch of beers, just started collecting Social Security. My buddy Bob, the golf pro down there, he and I seriously hang out.
How old you got to be for that?
For 65. I saw him at Christmas time, and he comes out, big grin on his face. He goes, guess what? I'm collecting Social Security now. We hang out. I told you when I was down there the last time, and incidentally, I only really go to one place now. That's it. I want to try what you did. I'd like to go somewhere where they you know, they do stuff for you, because I like going down there because I love the weather, but I've been there, you know, since I bought the joint, I've never been anywhere else. You know, I go down there every year, and they still, it's reintroducing myself.
It's in Fort Myers, Florida.
It's
right?
In Fort Myers, Florida. It's where the Red Sox have their training camp, and in March I go down there, I play golf, and I go to baseball games.
And,
I fish also.
And your best buddy's 65.
I say this with no hesitation. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, Howard, my other friend, how old he is, so I don't know his age, so I can't say it. But Howard and Bob are my two buddies down there, and he is, I'm in fact, we went out on Thursday, it was Wednesday or Thursday night, and we burnt it down. We spent so much time together, and I said it, that those words came out of my mouth. You're my best friend in Florida. I know I said it. If I said it once, I said it a dozen times, but, you know, Carla is, unless she's faking it, she really enjoys the, and Lord knows she fakes it most of the time, no. She enjoys the people down there. And on our last night, the night we went out to see the Rod Stewart impersonator, he was at the country club, Buzz.
What I'm talking about.
He was in the community.
That's
he was super duper. He came inside the gates. And when they come inside the gates, you go see him. Mm-hmm. You get quality entertainment like that that's going to be on the local stage.
Yeah.
I saw an Elvis impersonator, Blues Brothers impersonators, and a Rod Stewart impersonator. My friend who was an Elvis impersonator, moved to Texas where he's working with his father.
Florida's law.
So he's no longer there. And that, and boy, they were auditioning this new Elvis impersonator who, you know, really, all due respect, could not suck enough. Terrified. You have to have the pattern. You can't just get up there and sing Kentucky Rain. When the karaoke machine runs out of Kentucky Rain, you've got to have patter with the audience, right, and that's what my friend Chris.
How you doing, Elvis?
Chris, who is Elvis?
How many of you have filled your adult diapers tonight?
It was, and he would do it better than anybody. He would make these ladies feel like they were 12 years old, teeny boppers that were just, you know, idolizing Elvis when he was coming up. You know, the little girls that used to scream in the crowd. Mm-hmm. And he's gone now. And they, you know, but I saw, you know, that's the only real entertainment.
You've still got your other old friends, though.
Who's that?
Your other old friends.
All of them.
Bob, I mean, your other friends who are old.
Well, Howard was there with his wife Ellen, and
she is hot as balls.
And we and Bob, another Bob, and Candy were there. Bob and I are not close friends, but Bob's an acquaintance. Bob kind of looks at me. Bob's one of those guys. I always talk about the fact that I have to reintroduce myself to everybody. Where, you know, I've been going down there. What is it? 8-9 years now,
yeah.
And I still. And these people have been there the whole time I've been there, and I still shake hands with a lot of these guys that I have met. I am not kidding you. I have met 8 or 9, maybe even a dozen times. And it's like, and you are. And I'm the same way with them. See, that's when I say, even though I'm younger, I still have the mind. So, I have the memory of an elderly person. I have the you know, the back of an elderly person. I'm overweight like an elderly, but like a lot of elderly
like
people.
Is this like a sitting area for old people where you're meeting them at, like the lobby of a of an old folks
home? The vast majority would be on the golf course or in the clubhouse when they're having like a little social function. When you move to a place like this, they have a thing called a food minimum. All right, and last year I forgot that you have to spend a certain amount on food at the clubhouse. And if it sounds, this does sound like an institution.
Dinner's at 4:45.
We eat early down there. We eat early. The earliest we ate was 4:30.
Oh, nice.
We ate dinner. We ate dinner the last meal of the day at 4:30.
Keep telling yourself night. Carlos having a super time.
And went to bed at 7:30. But that's because we'd had a real night the night before. So that was no problem. But because of that, I said this was the trip where I was going to be more social. I went to the local community party and brought food. I made my special shrimp that I brought over there. I went to, and I haven't even gotten to the good stuff of my trip. This is just the normal existence, which I adore. I mean, I know.
This is like listening to a senior citizen.
I'm very comfortable. I like playing golf. I like going to the beach. I like fishing. I like going to dinner early. I'm getting a discount for that.
Sure.
I enjoy that. I mean, these are very good things for me. I really, but you know, don't get me wrong. With the day that the couple of days that Carl and I would actually go down to the beach where the spring breakers were, you know, I like camp in my little chaise lounge right in the front row and put my mirrored sunglasses on and just let the camels come down the beach.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the way. And I won't say the other thing because you can't. But I mean, really, it was a spectacular vacation I'm perfectly at ease with these people. I'm completely, totally at ease. Now, I would get bored. I know I would. I would get very, very bored, but you can venture off campus and get out into whatever you want. You can go to a biker bar. You can go to the beach. You can ride your Harley around. You can do anything to shake that off. But when you come back to your nest, it is a peaceful, simple life that I truly, and it's a sanitized, institutionalized type of life. No. It's almost like one of those assisted living communities.
That's what it sounds
and I am
like.
Perfectly comfortable in that.
Bingo.
I have a tiny, tiny house that you can clean in an hour. I have small rooms. I have a larger shower than I have at home in my old, you know, barn of a house that I have here. I've got a very good life. I'm me. I'm like Dom DeLuise. When I eat, I'm me. No, when I'm down there, I'm really. Man, this time was just the last time I was down there, I was going through all sorts of hell. It was just a weird time for all of us, and I had the flood and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I was talking to people about going down in the summer because they all want me to come down in the summer when they have hurricanes, and I'm really, really seriously giving it some thought. Going down in hurricane season.
Sit around, just listen to the weather radio with fellow seniors.
Make sure you get batteries. That's everybody said that to me. Make sure you get batteries. Don't go to Lowe's, you know, the Friday before the storm's coming in and try to get double D batteries because you're screwed. Double A's and D's are going to be gone. But
yeah.
But that's not what really happened to me. What happened to me was do you want to hear the worst or the sort of worst or the semi-worst?
They all sound wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, here's a throwaway. Carla caught me cleaning myself in the shower. We have a very large shower.
Start there.
And Carla, you know, Carla at the house we have a tiny shower. She does her. She has her little bathroom that
separate.
She uses down the hall, and I have my bathroom. Well, this time we got a very. I love the shower down there. You know, man, they built this house. They built it for people to get around easily.
For
and,
old people.
And it is no. It's just. So perfect. It's magnificent because the shower's huge, so you don't have to fumble around and,
yeah.
You know, it's very bright so
go
you can
up,
see.
Take a look at it.
Nice handicap access.
You could put a whole wheelchair in there.
True.
You could put a wheelchair in.
And rails.
And I'm sure that wasn't lost on them. You could
actually. You're damn right.
All you'd have to do is put like a little ramp because it does have a step down into the shower.
I can't hear you.
But we have discussed on the show the way we prepare ourselves for an evening out.
I beg your pardon?
When we're
talking about cleaning your dookie-doo?
And I don't want to say that I was having a particular amount of trouble, but I was spending a little extra time.
Because it was warranted.
It was warranted. I'm not going to go into real detail on this broadcast as to why it was warranted, but needless to say it was. And I don't step out of that shower until that particular area of my body clean. Is a freshly, you know, a freshly washed dinner plate.
Clean as
and that's the way I did it. And so I had my back to the outside of the bathroom, and Carla, who, well, you know, I mean, because we went down to Atlantic City.
You know.
Has this this routine of spending 3.5-4 hours to get ready. She spends a long time getting ready. I thought she was in another section of the house doing her preening and primping and stuff. And apparently she was standing in back of me for about 15 seconds and then spoke up and said, "What are you doing?" And that's when I, because I was bending from the waist at the time, and I had to straighten up and say, "What? What?" I said, "Stop, stop, leave me alone." I actually, you know, the door was all fogged up, and I kind of made a little porthole in it and said, "What are you doing? You go, you get out of here. You're not the boss of me." And so she,
you're Duke?
Yeah, she saw me because I guess she didn't really, she wasn't quite sure what I was doing. Like,
so good.
She saw that you through the fog, bent over.
And she saw me bent over, and she said, maybe she thought, you know, down there, she might have thought I was having a stroke or something.
Is everybody happy?
I said, please leave the bathroom area so I can finish, because I wasn't nearly finished yet. And then it took me another, I'd say a good 15 minutes, I finished that.
I'm mocking you, dork.
It was delightful. And then we went out, and we went to the baseball game, which I love. You know, I love spring training baseball.
So what, she caught you, like, with your hand behind your back, or your hand between
my
your legs?
My from the waist and scrubbing down there. Yeah. And I know that's, I don't use a washcloth. I use the fingers that God gave me.
You don't want to be caught doing that.
No, it didn't. It was not a flattering position. I was not thrilled, and I was embarrassed. Yep. And
think of how many of your older friends wish that they still had the flexibility to do that.
I'm very happy that I do, but I mean, there are
Bob and Howard.
There are guys that are at least 25 years older than I am that have better flexibility than that. That they are so good on the golf course. There's so much. Well, they play every day. They play 6 days a week. They're phenomenal.
You ever ask them about their wiping?
No. Yeah. See, that's where you get. Now, that's where, you know, this show probably and the whole stuff like you and I, the way we talk when we're out about. Now, Bob and I, we can have that conversation because Bob's, you know, an athlete. He's a guy that's been in the military, and he's a cool guy.
How old
but
is
most,
Bob?
If I went into the club function with all the ladies around, not a chance.
Oh, no.
You know,
how old is Bob?
65. Cool dude. Cool dude could handle anything. You know, actually turned everybody down there onto our show when we had an affiliate down there, and that's how he knew me before I even got down there.
Think he's a good wiper?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got that golf pro thing that he has to have. Even at 65, they have to have that kind of fastidious thing, you know, going on. And most of the people, I'm trying to think, no, there are a couple down there. I don't remember their names.
Hold on, golf, give me just 1 second, Mike.
Well, it was, again, a most unusual week here at Augusta.
Homo.
Another one replete with memories.
Homo.
The cold weather, the high winds.
Homo.
And the incredible resolve of one Zach Johnson.
He's a fag.
What a great way to end our little break, though, to have Nancy on TV yesterday.
Nancy
in all his splendor.
Okay, well, when we come back, let's do hear about you getting in a fight with a guy.
Please. I'll tell you about the fight, and I'll tell you also about a fat man story concerning me where, you know, the karma came back on me. So be careful who you mock, because in 24 hours, you may be the person being mocked.
Got you.
And I was. I'm the mock-y.
Yeah,
okay. The mock-ing.
Yeah.
Want to say hi to all my friends down there, you know? Enjoy your, what's it? Oh, yeah, it's 10 after 4. They're, enjoy your dinner.
Well, it was, again, a most unusual week here at Augusta. But
that's so gay.
I agree,
Katie Couric. God, that is gay.
Well, it was, again, a most unusual week here at Augusta.
What about that, Katie?
That's so gay.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
At Augusta.
Okay, commercials.
Yes, it is time. Pause.
Thanks.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Under the boardwalk, witty and change my house. Under the
this music too in the background.
Raging Bulls.
Carmella in the background.
Stop! Bobby!
That's a man right
okay.
there.
Oh, my shoulder is killing me. Is he all right?
Hold it, everybody. Look, Tom, I'm really sorry.
Bobby, just shut up. Let's all just go to bed. What the f*** are you thinking?
But my wife, he insulted you.
I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself. God, he is head of the family. Do you think he's just going to wake up tomorrow and forget about this?
Yeah. Right, Janet.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Godless, motherless bastards, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
What was that? Oh, wow. A prick.
That's right.
Okay. I got you.
Oh, you know, when you were talking about cleaning yourself?
Yes.
I was trying to find something on my cell phone. This is something that would only be good for Mike to see. On my son's 22nd birthday.
Did he send you another picture?
No, I sent him a couple of pictures.
Ah.
And I just found them in my phone.
Now, is this a payback?
Oh, no, no, no. This is just me being goofy.
Okay.
I was amazed that I was in this incredible suite with all of these decks and balconies, and this hotel suite that I was in had bidets.
Ah.
So right. Here's the first picture, and it's of me that I sent to my son on his birthday, about 6 o'clock on his birthday night.
Yes.
And it's me by the bidet, and I don't know if you can see or not.
Is that a toothbrush?
No, that is a glass. Now, that's the first,
filling up the glass.
That's the first picture.
Right next to the bidet.
Filling up the glass.
Right.
And
then, I never really knew how to use a bidet.
And then here is the follow-up picture, which just made him laugh out loud on the television.
And it's Don sitting on the toilet drinking the glass that he held up. That is LOL right there. Look at that.
That's great. You know, maybe I'll transfer these off to a disc tonight. Along with the,
you look like you're a pitchman, too. It's like, here's the fabulous new bidet.
Along
fill your
the,
glass up.
The pictures of those boys from Boston. Like to get those up and put them on our,
oh, good.
On our website. Michael.
Yes.
Your fights, please.
Okay. Very quickly, I will tell you about the incidents that happened to me when I was down there. The week was probably not going all that well when I went out to the little shopping area, brand new shopping area down there, which is very exciting for us old people. When they open up one of these new places, you know, everybody's excited. Everybody wants to go. Who doesn't like the
I'm
new mall?
I'm liable to lose you.
Who doesn't like the new mall? And I went in and we had a really good time. It was I bought some stuff that I needed. I got a pair of shoes down there, some corrective shoes, and you know, Carla was moving from spot to spot, and we walked by and. I actually look in the window and I see this bikini on the mannequin. I say, man, I have, you know, that's really a different kind of bikini. It's really classy looking. It doesn't look like these crappy bikinis you see. And we've been at the beach a couple of times. And I said that you know, let's go in there. Let's go, you know, let's walk in there and, you know, let's get you this. And we go into this bikini store and, you know, I'm poking around a bit, but immediately as soon as I walk in, I sort of regret it because, you know, you're in a chick store. But what's great about Carla is she goes in and she knows her size in this place, so she doesn't have to, you know, waste time going and trying it on. So she picks this thing out. She goes, yeah, I'll get that. I said, yeah, go ahead. It's my treat. You know, we've had a great time down here. You know, I'm buying this for you. And she had purchased the shoes for me and vice versa. We just have one of those kind of shopping days. We're at the counter, and there are four of these bubble heads that are working behind the counter in this place. And serious can be, as we're standing at the counter, This girl who was the junior manager, she was standing in back of the person ringing the phone. She goes, oh, man, I used to love it when my father would buy me stuff.
Oh.
And says it in such a way that you know it is completely, I mean, it's completely serious. You know, and I turned to Carla, and I'm like, what do we do with this little opportunity here? Because it was so real, and she was so sincere. And Carla looked at me and said, I'm like, okay, take care, bubblehead. There you go. And I, you know, but say, well, what father
would buy his daughter a bikini. It's not the that's not the purchase. And maybe one of the guys that's going to be on the Chris Hansen, but I
what
guess
do you
the,
think, what do you think the lady at the store thought? You're standing going, God, you look so hot in that.
I didn't say that. See, that's
put that on.
Maybe I was acting fatherly.
Put that on for daddy tonight.
Or maybe there's just an incredible age difference there, and that's what she said. But it's really one of the, you know, I'm surprised that type of thing doesn't happen more often. But, you know, and it was the, you know, I remember when my dad used to buy me stuff.
Daddy day, daughter day.
Daddy day, daughter day. I'll give daddy a kiss. So flash forward to we go to this ball game. This has happened to me twice at baseball games. And oddly enough, it's both times when I've actually been able to score some very good tickets. And we had the nice thing about spring training is you can get some good seats. And we were down, I think, four or five rows from the on-deck circle, just incredible seats, and you could actually, it was on the Red Sox side, so you can see the Red Sox come out on the on-deck circle, and you could actually, you know, if you wanted to, you could have a conversation with them, they're that close. So we're at this game, and right before the game starts, four of these guys come walking in, and oddly enough, I leaned over to Carla, right, as soon as they say, and I really just, on a vibe I had,
yeah.
I leaned over to her and I said, man, does that not look like a bunch of a-holes? And because it really did. Comes in, I gotta describe these guys right. You got one guy that looks like Donald Rumsfeld only with his hair slicked back.
Are these all old guys again?
You got a guy that's, your average 20-something that's next to, on the other side of the guy that looks like Donald Rumsfeld. Then you have Earring Boy. Comes in, he's got the designer shorts on, he's got the two earrings, he's got the store-bought tan, you know, the all-over tan, he's got the dyed blonde hair, and he's just, you know, he's just a guy that looks, you know, you just noticed them because they came in. Then the last guy, so you got one young, one old, another young, and then the last guy looks like Alan Goodman with hair. And he looks in and he comes in, and... Right, you know, these guys are just, you know what?
So you're saying he was Jewish?
No, I don't think he was Jewish. I think he just looked like New York. He looked like New York, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He comes in and he's, you know, Alan Goodman with hair is not the right way to describe this guy. This guy is very difficult. I wish I could get a better guy, but they all have...
I only think of his religion when you mention Big
Al. All right,
Al.
See, that's wrong, because I got to take it off religion.
Hey, my...
This guy, how are you?
Because
they weren't even that... They were from New York. It was obvious because the one guy had a Mets hat on. So they sat down, and the game starts, and right away they are giving it to the Red Sox guys on the on deck circle. And this is one of my all time pet peeves. I don't care if it's even a team I'm not rooting for. When you hear, you know, it's the guys. I've seen it before where the guys come in the front row. And they just harass the guys that are playing, and they're not doing it in any funny way. They're doing it in a really like serious way, and it's just pissing me off. It's just saying things like, "Hey, Veritek, yeah, nice batting average. See if you can get some wood on the ball. Yeah, you didn't do that all year. Lowest average in the league." And like quoting statistics, and they're all ignoring him until a player that plays for the Red Sox named Kevin Youkilis. They started saying something about his kids, and I didn't hear it real clear. But he turned around and he said, "Oh, really? And they start having this, and they're twitchy guys. You know the kind of guys, you know the guys I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
They're sitting there, and the one guy on the aisle, the Alan Goodman guy's got his little leg going, his little knee going, and they're looking around, and finally, you know, it's about the third inning, and this is going on, and I'm like, yo, I stand up, I go, yo, row A, shut up, row A. And as soon as I do this, as soon as I realize that I'm one of 30 people in this whole area, and all I did was uncork the champagne bottle, because these people start going, yeah, hey, and this guy took up the charge that was on my left. He goes, yeah, I guess it's freedom of speech, huh? I bet you're a lawyer. And then this lady goes, yeah, knock it off down there. And it's like, rah, rah, and it's going on. These guys don't pay any attention to it, and they keep going and going and going. Next inning comes down, and I'm like, yo, row A, shut up. We're trying to watch the game. Leave them alone. And the one guy turns around, and the guy with the two earrings, and I just, you know, when eyes meet, and the eyes say, you'd like to dance with me, and I'd like to dance with you. And I'm looking at this guy, but I'm, you know, suddenly common sense prevails, and I realize I'm in the land of the elderly, and I'm in the front row. I'm not. That's not where you see fights happen. You don't want that to happen. I'm four rows in back of these guys. This continues. I'm not even remotely the most pissed off person. I'm yelling, and I'm close to them.
Wouldn't the devil's advocate say that they've paid their money to get into the stands, and as long as they are not being profanity-laced, that they could say just about anything to the ball players?
Not true. It is the prerogative of the stadium to throw them out because they paid for their tickets.
Right.
It is the stadium's prerogative to throw. I found this out later when I was talking to somebody because I said the same thing. Because the guy comes down and he said, you know, the usher comes down and the guy leans over and goes, freedom of speech, First Amendment. And that's when one of the other people, people are just screaming at these guys. They're causing a major disruption to the extent where a lady went up and got the Lee County sheriffs to come down and two sheriffs come. And this guy is lipping off to the sheriff.
Sure.
But when the sheriffs came, they settled down a little bit.
Okay.
So it keeps going on. They're not doing it nearly as much. In fact, it died down to an extent where you could actually watch the game. However, you know me, I don't normally forget. And I pulled a, you know, kind of an old move that during the break in the inning, finally, the twitchy leader of the band who was doing the most heckling decides that he's going to come up and, you know, either go to the bathroom or get a beer or whatever.
He's going to get up,
and I'm on the aisle. And he made the mistake of actually coming on the inside where the little poles are. And at that point, I just decided that I would stretch my legs temporarily.
Not let him
and
get by.
As I was stretching my legs, my elbow happened to fly into his rib cage, and he didn't even break stride. He didn't. He was moving so quickly with his head down, twitching his way all the way up there. But I was, you know, I really felt frustrated because in that situation, there's only one way. You know what those guys really deserve? You know, they deserve to be hit in the head. That's what they deserve. Wow. They deserve to be They're being a-holes, and they're disrupting it for everybody else. But I can't get into a fight. I'm going to go.
Mike, yes. I want to be on your side.
Yes.
You're at a baseball game.
No, but it's different. It's not like guys that are screaming out profanity and stuff at the game. I've been to games
That's
where
what I'm saying.
This is just they were pissing everybody else off because it was directly at the players. And, you know, and you looked at them, and not one of those guys, you could look at these guys, not one of them has ever played a team sport. Not one of them's ever been in a game themselves.
Well, do the pussy Red Sox need you, though, fighting their battles?
No, but what are the players going to do? The players aren't going to come over. I mean, that happens, I guess, occasionally. But there was only one guy that even, you know, because they were ignoring it the whole time. But he was that close to him. And I wasn't the only one that was annoyed at this. And it was just like, it was a good go. I wish, I'm glad nothing happened. Because
yeah,
I certainly
too.
Would not want to spend a night in a Lee County detention facility.
Me too, because
that wouldn't have been fun.
I think you'd lose.
What's that? You mean lose the fight?
No. I think you'd, if they pulled you in, if you like.
Oh, you mean like if I threw the first punch?
If you clocked the guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Pulled, and
yeah.
They said to the guy, what did you do?
Of course.
I was just yelling at Veritas, telling him he couldn't hit his weight.
No, but, you know, of course I wouldn't. That wasn't lost on me either, you know. But there was one, the earring guy, when he was coming up the aisle, had the cell phone, too, which was glued to his ear, you know, and he's like, I'm Mr. Slickboy. And we just had another one of those little eye contact. He was the young guy. He was the guy that I was actually focused on a little bit more.
Were they Yankees fans or Mets fans, do you think?
They were, I don't know. And who knows? I mean, all I know is they were doing it. And they were the only people they were amusing, you know, they're elbowing their buddies and just doing, and they're all twitching, you know, they're all doing the, where their eyes are like shifting around, they're looking around, and everybody just hated these guys. Flash forward to like 2 days later, I'm at another ballpark because I go to a lot of spring training games down there. This guy comes down, and you talked about meeting some Boston people. This guy comes down who is just huge. He's like 6'4". And he walks right up to me and Carla, and I'm like, oh, what's he doing? And he walks over, and obviously he puts his hand on my shoulder. He goes, were you at Hammond Stadium the other night? I said, yeah. I said, I just want to know. I'm a Boston cop. We had about four of us, about five rows in back here. We were ready to back you up if anything happened with those a-holes that were down there. And it was just, it was nice to get a little validation of that. Mm-hmm. But they were such, here's the deal. You know what? I've been there where guys have done the same thing, and it's funny, and they're actually making comments that are kind of funny, and it doesn't really bother the players at all, and it doesn't bother anybody around them. They were saying things that were just, you know, just slightly over the line, and it was just really starting to piss the players off and also piss everybody up in the whole section. So we were just pissed off with the guys. We really were.
We can't have that at a baseball game, can we?
You had to be there. If you'd been there, you would have been right with me. You would have been with me 100% because they were just being sick. And they twitched. They twitched because they were shifty, slimy little bastards.
There's a reason they hit them right there.
You know, I feel like I'm back at the game now. I really do.
You're all worked up again.
I'm worked up again. I got worked up. It ruined the game for me and about 10 other people. It really sucked. And the one guy, the lawyer next to me, said, I'm a lawyer, too. And they all have all the accents that you have down there. I'm a lawyer, too. I bet you're going to say it's First Amendment, huh? You're going to say it's First Amendment. And the guys ignored him. The only people they were paying attention to was just hurling as much crap as they could at the players. And the one guy's knee.
It's going up.
That's what really bothered
you. Yeah, it's going up in that knee. How are you? Costa Rica.
I'm sure all the Red Sox were happy you were there. Stand up for their honor.
It wasn't even a Red Sox issue as much as it was just they were such dicks. You know, they really were. And they deserved to be shut down a little bit. And they finally quieted down. But it took two sheriffs actually coming down to the front of the section to get those guys quieted down. And I never seriously thought about throwing them below. I'm 47 years old. What would I do with that, huh? Come on now. I never really would have done that. I thought someone should speak up and tell them to quiet down.
Mm-hmm. On behalf of the ball player who was being yelled at.
On behalf of the section that I was sitting in. The ball players can take care of themselves, but on behalf of the good patrons of Boston, Don.
Okay.
They didn't want to take that crap.
Okay.
But then it was off to the beach the following day, and I had a bit of a moment where have you ever seen the thing where they parasail on the where they take you out on the boat and they do it at beaches.
Oh,
you
sure.
Go to Ocean City all the
of
time.
Of course.
We set up camp and we see this old lady come in, and she's not an old lady. She's just a slight bit overweight. And they throw the little ladder over the side of the tender boat that I guess takes them out to the main boat.
Right.
And I'm sitting there, enjoying a beverage and sitting at the beach with my sunglasses on. And this lady is struggling to get over the side of the boat. And I think I may have really, enjoyed this. I'm not saying anything, but she's trying to heave herself over. And the ladder goes all the way down to the bottom, and she struggles once, and then she struggles. Then it's like two deckhands that are trying to pull it.
Pulling a whale in.
And I said, and I'm not, Lord knows I'm not thin, but I'm very amused at this. And after about eight tries with two deckhands, they haul this lady. I said to Carla, I said, are they taking her out to are they going to let her parasail if she's having this much trouble? And you can't tell because they go so far offshore that, maybe she's going to have a little problem out there. So, I never saw her again, and I don't know whether she made it or hurt herself or whether she broke some harnesses or...
I hope nobody hassled her.
But,
Hey there, fatty. Hey there, fatty. I don't think that thing's going to get off the air. What?
Well, the funny thing was that
a lawyer?
The next day a Boston cop came up to me and said, I saw you laughing at that fat lady. No, this is where, I learned my lesson, my valuable lesson. We rented a boat, and it was kind of a choppy day. It's about a 21-foot boat. We rent the boat. We go off the beach, and we're trying to do a little fishing. And we're not 10 minutes out in the water, and it's going up and down. And Carla says, I'm not feeling too good. And I said, oh, no, are you getting a little seasick? She said, yeah, I think so. And not 5 minutes after that, I mean, it's going up and down. And I'm saying, I don't feel that hot either. We're going to go into shore. So we take our boat into right off the beach where close to where the lady was. And I said, what'll make me feel better will be to hop off the boat and catch a quick dip. No problem at all. I'm just going to go freshen up my face, get a little cold water on it, and then I'll get back on the boat. So I jump into about 4 feet of water, and maybe 5 feet of water. It's right up to about my
chin. Neck, right.
And I go to the back, and I see that there's a ladder at the back of the boat. And the ladder comes up. I'm trying to paint the picture of the engineering dynamics of this boat. The ladder comes up to about my chest.
Okay.
So, and then the railings on the ladder kind of slip forward.
I think everybody
and I got
knows,
a lot of suntan lotion.
Everybody out. Knows that yeah. little tiny
yeah,
boat
I
ladder.
Yeah, I had a little boat like this that had a ladder, but it had two more rungs on it. This has a rung where, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, the rung is literally at nipple level for me. So in order to get on the back of this boat, I got to put my, literally lift my leg up, sort of float on my back, and then take my body weight, the bulk of my body weight, and well, flash forward, I become the lady. I become the lady, and Carla's on the boat, and Carla was concerned at first.
Could you not
then,
make it onto the boat?
And then couldn't help herself laughing at me. And the thing was, I eventually made it onto the boat, but I had to get a towel and wrap it around the bottom rung so I could put my knee up on the rung and not, like, smash my knee. Uh-huh. And then I made the terrible mistake of pushing off the back of the outboard.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just the little metal part that came out when, in fact, it was the bottom of my foot went across the prop.
Oh.
And when I finally, Carla's, you know, got tears in her eyes because she's laughing so hard at this. She's forgotten her seasickness as I'm pulling myself over this thing. But this is it. This happened to me because I made fun of that lady.
That's right.
And maybe because I challenged those boys to a fight that night.
First Amendment there, Mikey. But
First Amendment, that's right. That's why you got to cut your foot off the beach the other day, fat ass. Enjoy yourself. You know. But
I think the best part of that was putting the towel, because I can picture you hanging off the back.
It was a thing where putting all of my body weight, you know, at that angle into this metal
bar. You could not get the leverage.
The leverage
to swing yourself up there,
was
right?
Not there. I'm sure a svelte, tiny person would be like a little hummingbird and float right onto the effing boat. But I'm sitting there with my knee and trying to pull it up. And, it was a very, very sad moment. And I was relieved to get on the boat and, turn the engine on, pulled the anchor up, and that's when I look down and I see that my foot is in basically a pool of blood from where I stepped off the prop. And somehow this one's all gone, but somehow I'd raked the prop across this part of my body, too, my arm. And it was, but all in all, it was a good vacation.
That came the shark.
It was. I don't think I didn't think about that when I scraped it, because I looked at. I didn't see my foot was bleeding, and my foot was bleeding the kind of blood where it would be, open water, that kind of thing.
And then the little O'Mara boy comes spilling out all over the dock.
It was no boating accident.
But I had it. You know, really, I know.
Doll's eyes.
I'm telling you all these negative things that happened. I didn't get into a fight with the guys at the ball game. I did pull myself onto the boat. I did get seasick, but I had a very, very, very good time, and managed to drink almost every night I was there.
Attaboy.
Except for the last two nights.
Here
wanted to sober up coming back to, Showtime and all that.
Good for you.
What a drag that is. God, right now, I'd be on my fourth already.
Yeah.
Quarter of five. Might start working on that a little bit of set up the open bar. Don't want to get into any fights, though.
No.
You would have been with me at the ballpark. You would have been on my side.
I would not have, Mike.
Yes, no. You would have.
I might have never sold anything.
It wasn't a fighting
I'm so
thing.
Used to going to football games and people are drunk and out of control. There's nothing you can do about it.
You know, I don't know if they had kept it up. I'm not sure whether they would have been thrown out or not.
We got a break. I'm on your side, except for the fact.
And I wouldn't have fought them, of
except
course.
For the fact that you're saying that all they were really doing was just like saying, hey, come on, you suck. You can't hit, you can't hit, you can't hit.
Yeah, I mean, really, they're doing the same kind of thing. But you know what? If it was 20 rows back, that could be a hell of a lot different than when you're actually saying it right to the player's face. It just seems like it's a little different.
Too personal.
It is. And the players have to ignore it. But it's, I would have hoped that if I was in an altercation, even if you disagreed at the time, you would have backed me up on that.
I'd have your back.
God bless you.
Of course I would.
God bless you there, Donnie.
Of course I would.
You and Muffinhead or whatever his name was.
Muffin Top.
Muffin Top.
My boy, Muffin Top.
There you go. No problem. You know.
I would also catch those lads off guard. I realized when you're drinking and you're on vacation and you see someone like across a hotel lobby, I would scream, hey! Hey, you fag!
Yeah.
You realize every head in the room turns. Like,
sure.
Hey,
it's a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're fags in a good way.
In a good way. I only meant in the best possible way.
Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, when you win a Super Bowl, the biggest challenge is not having a letdown year the next year. And so you ask, how do I stay motivated? But let me tell you a little story. I was recently visiting a veterans hospital in Boston, and I sat with Joe O'Malley, 85 years old, incredible guy. And he said to me, Peyton, what do Tom Brady and the circus have in common? I said, what's that, Joe? He said, they both have two more rings than you do. You know, Joe, I just kind of want to say thanks because of that comment. I'm going to go back and work hard to be sure to kick y'all's ass again next year.
He's funny, huh? Actually,
celebrating 20 years of genius, the Don and Mike Show.
Actually, got the Peyton Manning Saturday Night Live from a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure a lot of it is on YouTube. One great skit, and it's hard to say that on Saturday Night Live, they take up on 300, when you just see Peyton Manning without his shirt off, with his shirt off, less than a muscular body on Peyton Manning.
Really? Not cut?
But the funniest thing ever is this fake ad they did for the United Way, where it says, Peyton Manning goes to the inner city to play ball with the kids, and it starts like a real commercial where he goes, we're going to learn about teamwork and playing together and being on the team. You ready? Who wants to play? And then he starts throwing the ball and throwing it real hard and knocking the kids down and screaming at them and saying, what the F is going on? Here's the effing deal. I throw the ball, you catch it. What part of that don't you understand?
The United Way.
And what's the very last line where he says, oh, I know. He's sitting on a street corner with all these kids, and they're drinking beer. And they're like 8-year-old kids. And he says, so, when we get done with this, y'all want to come to my mansion? He says, nah, I'm just effing with you.
Really. He is, I think that's why he's so bankable. I mean, he can pull that off. He really can.
Outstanding stuff. I was chatting with my girlfriend during the break, and I didn't explain why that guy was called Muffin Top correctly.
Okay.
It had nothing to do with his hair.
Oh, it didn't?
It's something a kid said to him. When he got out of the pool, he had a layer of fat that goes right around his belly.
I wondered about that.
And that's why the kid called him Muffin Top, because he said the fat right around the guy's
looked
belly.
Like a muffin over the paper. And that expression, I believe, actually started with girls, women, wearing the crop tops, and maybe they're a little heavier than they should be.
That's a muffin
for
top.
For the low-rise pants. So when you see fat hanging over low-rise pants, that's a muffin top.
So Jan reminded me of that and then said also another great drunk moment with me in the pool with these guys is we were all talking about going out to dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
These guys from Boston and Janet and I, and they wanted to go to some restaurant in the hotel, but you had to have long pants to get into this restaurant. And I said, well, we're out of luck because I didn't bring any long pants. And one of these lads said, what size do you wear? And I said, size 38. And he said, great, you can wear my pants. So I apparently spent a part of the evening trying on another guy's pants.
Did they fit?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't end up going to dinner, but I ended up
with the trying on.
Wearing his
pants. You know, you mentioned the fact.
I do have great pictures. I was talking to Jan, great pictures of them because they are just so.
How many total were there?
Six
guys.
Six that I hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just so. They're so wicked Boston. That's all I can say about them.
Aren't they good people?
Those people were. They would not complain about someone heckling a Red Sox player. Mike.
That's wicked. You are just not with me on that. That's wicked good sodomy.
I'm not with you on that. Let's see if we're together on this.
I didn't get into a fight. And I never would have thrown a punch.
Good.
I believe they needed to be disciplined.
But you elbowed the guy and you stood up.
He didn't even notice it.
You stood up and yelled at him, though.
I yelled at him more than once.
Because they yelled at your players.
Now, see, you're not. You would have had to be there. You formulated it. You were a granite opinion. It will never be chipped away at, and I will not attempt to argue with you.
Okay. And then if we could talk about The Sopranos.
Let's do that.
Okay. A lot of people, of course, waited for this stupid show to come back on last night. There's only 9 that were left. I'm going to guess, because I think I know you pretty good, I'm going to guess that you probably gave it, and we've not had a big in-depth discussion about this, you and me, Rob, Buzz, anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bet you probably really liked it.
Loved it.
I'm going to guess you really liked it more than Mike did.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Buzz?
What's your guess?
You thought it was just okay.
Okay.
That, and I don't care about anybody else.
All right.
So, Mike, did you really like it?
I thought last year, or last season, when they, and what was it, 12 years ago that they had their last season, I actually thought that I didn't like a lot of the episodes. I thought it was really struggling, and it disappointed me more than it
did.
I was completely entertained. What they regained to me was that sense of tension for the entire show where you just you don't know what's going to happen,
but you feel something is going to explode, and then you kind of get a feel for something is going to happen. I thought it was really, really well done. And, you know, of course, that Janice is just easy on the eye.
Always.
Well, I can see her Rolling Stones tattoo.
I'm with you. I didn't go into it thinking that I would like it.
Right.
I had read all this stuff saying it's very slow and don't expect anything out of the last couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. You loved it? Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
At any time there's sexual activity between Tony and Carm.
Oh. My handsome man, happy birthday.
If that wasn't the word, because you know what's happened. In that shot, either one of three things has happened. Either Karma's given him a happy ending,
all right.
or he's going to the bathroom, or he's having a heart attack.
there are only three options.
Those are the only three.
Only three options.
And then when you see her head come up from underneath the sheet.
In fairness to her, we have to say that's about a 50-50 right there.
Yeah, that's
because he's getting to a point there. I don't know. He goes back and forth. There's nothing sexual about him.
No.
And, you know, you just see him grunting and, oh, God.
Oh, there is about her.
My handsome man.
I thought he was sexy when he had the Monopoly house stuck to his cheek.
Hot as green balls. I love it when Bobby Bacala stood up to take a swing at him.
It was, and then he panicked so much he drives his car backs his car into a tree. What? It was really phenomenal.
Yes. Did you like it, not like it?
Didn't see it.
Oh, I didn't know. I really
nobody
didn't know.
Took that bet. We would have made some money on that.
I didn't know it was starting last night. So
you know,
I'll see it tonight.
I'm going to give you a free pass on that because I was in pure vacation mode as well, and I have a TiVo'd, and I just I didn't realize it was a new episode. They've run so many reruns. You're conditioned to see The Sopranos and think that it's going to be a rerun.
I was having so much fun. I missed it.
Oh, it's so good. You had an awful vacation. It was so good. The karaoke was good when Carm and what's her name, Janice, got out to do the karaoke.
And they show the bottles about 20 different times. They show the fact, really, if you're going to make it in chronological order, that day started with Tony and Bobby Bacala drinking on the boat. So they really drank like all day until the Monopoly game.
And like so many parts of that show, I like the fact that Tony screws with Bobby Bacala by making him go and kill that guy. I like the fact that like by the end of the day, Carm was just like Tony saying to Janice, oh, come on now. You know, if Tony hadn't just been in the hospital, it would have been like that.
Because really, and what's great about her role on that show, she is always the kind of passive-aggressive where she'll float along being above it all, and then when it really comes down to it, you know, she's the boss, too. She's very much the boss's wife, and she makes other people realize that. I think, really, you know, the only thing that I'm worried about is cruising for a disappointment as there are further episodes.
Oh, no, I think, my goodness, I would imagine that you're going to have probably four or five of your favorites killed off before the end.
Well, Phil doesn't like Tony. I guess that's supposed to be the real big drama.
What I heard was that at the very end, spoiler alert, the whole family is okay, meaning Tony and the kids and Carm are okay.
Good.
But bets are off with everybody else.
Okay.
Meaning
all right.
Christopher could be killed.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Van Zandt, I keep reading online.
Right.
He's definitely going to get killed. Phil's going to get killed.
So you're telling me, though, it's not going to be a family bloodbath at the end?
From everything I've read, no, but I liked the episode last night, and I thought it was, Darius says, almost worth the wait. Not really worth it, but
highly entertaining.
But the hour did go by pretty goddamn quick.
It really did, and I think that after that much time, you could take a risk. I mean, it is a risk to put that on, because if you're not going to be wowed by it, I think a lot of people are going to bail out. I really believe that, because they waited too long for it.
And how many times are we going to be forced to see the footage of the Sopranos at the party, at the goodbye party? Have you seen that stuff on HBO yet?
Yeah.
The behind the scenes.
Where they're talking about the making of The Sopranos.
Yeah, where you see, like, AJ, where he says, like they all say on those shows, I feel like I've grown up with these people. This is my second family. And the one thing that they keep saying over and over again is that they've been on for 10 years and that they've done the show for 10 years. I hate to be a ball buster about this.
Right.
It's not 10 years.
No.
It's not been a decade.
No, it hasn't.
It's been... How long, Buzz? Help me out on this.
If you put all the episodes together, it wouldn't even be a year, I don't think.
No, but I mean, what year did the show start? The show did not start in like
7 years ago, I think.
It started in 1997.
Right. Yeah. I think it's 7 years ago. And Janice, I believe, is the original Muffin Top. Janice truly is. I enjoyed that on so many, you know, we forgot that level, just watching Bobby Bacala and Tony and Janice walk around. and just being fat. I really enjoy it. And her legs.
Bobby without his shirt on.
It's really a true delight to see. She's the one, you know, and she's got a way about her when she's walking back and forth and grabbing the bottle of wine. Yeah. You got to love her.
How about Carmella really laughing about the... about Junior Soprano shooting the chick at the Beehive Hairdo?
Oh, yeah, big fun with them, and Tony didn't want that story told at all. Mm-hmm. And really, for two big, fat, sloppy guys, a really great fight scene. I thought it was a great fight scene.
What did he say about Janice? His second prize in a beauty contest to play in Monopoly. And he says, yeah, first prize was this shaved ass of a deer.
German Shepherd. A what? German Shepherd, I think.
Only one continuity error, I believe, or just a question. How far out in the woods did they have to go to fire the automatic weapon? Yeah. Was that just a stroll in back of the cabin, or did they take a drive? Because that seems to me that might alert the neighbors a little
bit. Yeah, but who cares? Because it's so great when he says, hey, I got it for you for your birthday. And then he says, don't tell Carm.
Don't tell Carm. It's back. I hope it's back, and I hope all the episodes are as good as that one.
99. It started in 1999.
Really?
99. Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
And Mike. Howdy.
Hey, didn't Tony at one time in the past say that Carm would never do that because those are the lips that kiss his children?
No, that's another...
That's analyzed.
Thank you, Robin. Absolutely right. That's right. Hey, that's right, because De Niro goes, hey,
those are the lips. Are you kidding me? That's the lips that kiss my kids. Well, you forget about it. And I believe that even with the hit that Bobby Bacala performed for Tony, I just don't think Tony's going to get over. Tony never gets over that type of stuff if he's been burned. I think there's going to be a little payback.
And how great was it when Tony just goes back to his bed and he's just like, I mean, James Gandolfini has really turned that into an art form.
Oh,
seriously.
Yeah.
Waddling around half drunk, half beat up, half angry, half sad.
Good. I really thought they were going to have a threesome when he went into the bedroom. Oh, Bobby and Janice's bedroom.
Right.
Yeah, that's a nice. And if it was real life, what would that room smell like?
Oh. Like a Band-Aid that had been on an oozing wound. Oh, that's so good. Got to the king-size bed. Yeah, there you go. Janice. Hey, it was a fair fight. Janice, what's that smell? Oh, my God. Get me out of here.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, baby.
And then he kisses her.
And seriously, while she's doing that, the look on his face is like...
You know, I don't know whether it's a promotional thing for HBO, but I saw it on YouTube. Have you seen the 7-minute recap of the entire, all the seasons, the series?
Yeah.
It's pretty well done. It really is. And it actually does give you a feel for what's going on.
Oh, we got to hit a break here, Mike, because we'll come back. We'll be talking to, hey, baby bird. Oh. Hey, baby bird, John Voight.
John Voight, legendary actor.
The great John Voight. We come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
As smart as you are, you can survive without me. Never look in the eyes of those you kill. They will haunt you forever. I know.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let them prey on you, Don and Mike.
All right, standing by here to talk to the great John Voight. Let me see, he's not only, I think he's in D.C. right now filming the sequel to that Nick Cage movie, National Treasure. And he's got a movie coming out on May 4th. It's called September Dawn.
Sounds great. Really does.
Now, welcome, first time to our show. The great John Voight. Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, great to talk to you. Huge fans we are. I got talking like Yoda.
You know, it's funny when you're playing that clip before we got John on the phone, and you know, I think of the body of work that he has, and we have the one clip we have is from Anaconda.
That is,
you know, that's fun. Did you have fun making that one? Because we play close from that all the time.
Well, obviously, it's one of the high watermarks of my career. I took a great deal of time deciding whether to do it, you know. Did a lot of research into snakes.
A lot of little thought went into it.
It was an important piece.
You know, John, you've been in so many great films. Another one recently, the original Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Not the very first one where the guys taking off the faces all the time.
Right, yeah.
When we had not seen that before, it was done so well in a movie. You were absolutely outstanding in that. You're great in the movie Ali, as a matter
of fact. As Howard Cosell. And really, you know, the thing, John, the thing that I think about when I think about your career, you've taken a lot of roles, I think, where people will say, John Voight is playing that character, and then you say, that doesn't sound like it's going to work, and then you make it work. I mean, have you felt that before? I mean, have you gotten that from producers or critics or anything like that?
Oh, sure, yeah. But you know, first of all, I've been a character actor all the way, really, with Midnight Cowboy starting off. Everybody got an idea that I wasn't going to be exactly who I am in private life on screen. So it wasn't that degraded a jump to doing the extra stuff, the prosthetics and the other things that I do to make the characters come alive. But I'm very glad that you appreciate it. I just want to listen to this show.
You know, when my daughter was very young, we had a baby monitor, and we're watching Anaconda.
Oh my God!
In a rec room with about five, six people, and I actually went up and imitated you from upstairs and said, "Good night, baby bird." And I love everything you do. Dialogues come so easy.
I give you another one now. I'm not using IMDb here. Right? It's off the top of my head. I know these are all very recent, but even Enemy of the State. The Will Smith movie, where you play the very uptight, buttoned down CIA guy who has his world turned upside down. Do you think what's the movie that you think you got noticed at first? Was it, you know, 30 years ago?
Probably Midnight Cowboy.
It goes a long way back. Yeah, I think Midnight Cowboy was, of course, my first break, and it was quite a phenomenon. And it is a great movie, so very proud to be associated with it all the time. And I go to different places in the world, you know, and I'm recognized. I've done enough work now that I seem to have touched different groups of people. For instance, little kids, let's say girls from 10 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at a young lady looking at me, and I look at her, and she's got a little smile on her face, I know she knows me from Holes, where I played Mr. Sir.
Oh, right.
It's really funny. And I look at them, and look at me with this look, like, I know who you are.
You know, when you mentioned
you crazy person. And then I say, Holes, and they go, aha.
You know, you made a joke about Anaconda putting a lot of time and thought into it. Every actor, I would imagine, has some kind of process where you're selecting what you're going to do. Do you sometimes look at a script and say, all right, it might not be an important piece of work, but it's something that looks like it might be a lot of fun to do?
Well, I have done that. I mean, Anaconda certainly was that. Anaconda was, you know, certainly was nothing wrong with it. It was a story of good and evil,
mm-hmm.
and it was very entertaining, and it reminded me of the stories my dad used to tell at bedtime to us. He used to tell us these stories. We'd close our eyes and we'd imagine ourselves, and then they came through the story in the Amazon, blowing the trees back and forth, and in the middle of it all they saw light, and a man. It turned out to be a man isolated on a little island of help me, he said, help me, you know. So you're into the story, so it reminded me of something like that, so that's why I did that one. And I have a lot of little reasons to do films, but I do take it seriously, and I kind of check the temperature of the time and check my own temperature to say, well, should this be done or should this not be done, whatever. And I say, well, yeah, this is something that needs to be said. In the case of September Dawn, which is coming out on May 4th, gotcha. That is what I felt. I read the script. I couldn't believe what I was reading, in a sense. I read it in one sitting, and then it was quite shocking, a quite disturbing piece, but fascinating all the way through. And I said, well, is this real? Because this was about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, which I hadn't heard about, and it happened 150 years ago this year on September 11th.
Wow.
Now, with that little information, I went deep into the research of it, and I found that everything in the film was true, and I thought it was very, very well crafted, so it included all the information necessary to be able to take the journey. And the reason why I thought it was important was because it related to religious fanaticism and what's going on today with the religious fanatics, the Islamofascists, I would say more accurately called, that are threatening democracy in America.
Is it now? I've read it briefly. Is it the Mormons that do the attacking here with this massacre? Or
yes,
are they,
it was a Christian wagon train. 120 something people were massacred by Mormons, and this was quite shocking. Now, of course, the Mormon religion today, the LDS Church, is not the same church that it was 150 years ago. Much has changed since 150 years ago, but it really helps us. First of all, we have to bring truth to every chapter of history, and there's a lot hidden here. So it's very, very important we visit these places. In terms of the contemporary scene, of course, when people say, "Well, the Mormons did this or that," they say, "Well, we've got a fellow running for president who seems to be a pretty good candidate. Is this going to, be difficult for him?" Well, I first of all, Mitt Romney was not on the scene when we started this film. There are wonderful Mormon people working in Congress. And this man, Mitt Romney, I have to say, is an exceptional person and seems to be quite eloquent about what is happening today. And I'm looking very carefully at him.
I think he's kind of a douchebag. I'm sorry.
No,
you don't like Mitt.
I'm not a fan of his.
Who's not a fan?
Yeah, that's Don. I'm not a real
Don, do you know what you're talking about? I mean, this is D.C. I mean, you got to really back up what you say. What are you talking about?
I believe I do. I believe that before we talk about that guy, before you get mad at me about that guy,
listen, this has been so lovely thus far.
I also want to ask you, you're maybe my one of the greatest movies ever. I always talk about the movie Heat. I'd like to ask you about that. I'd like to ask you about The Rainmaker, because you're so good in The Rainmaker. My favorite scene in that movie is...
You seem to have distracted from my concern about Islamofascists.
Okay, all right.
Listen, this is very interesting. Here's a Hollywood person coming on wanting to talk about something substantial. This is an event.
Well, that's John Voight. That's what you've done, over the years, right? You've got your causes, and you take them very seriously, right?
Well, listen, fellas, I'm not bereft of a sense of humor. And I certainly know that you're successful because you're very entertaining and smart.
Thank you.
But I must pay respects.
We're entertaining. We're not all that smart, though. We're really not all that smart.
Are you really going to vote for that Mormon guy for president?
Now, just listen to me. Calm down, young lads.
I really know nothing about Mitt Romney. In 30 seconds,
you got a big square head, Michael. I'll tell you that.
Educate us about Mitt Romney. I mean, is this your choice? Are you endorsing him?
Fellas, I'm making another point. I'm saying this movie, when we view this movie, the importance of this movie is that, like with films like Rosewood, like Schindler's List, you'd think they're all made in an attempt to prevent future horrors. And if people understand the madness of men, no matter what their faith may be, perhaps it will prevent, horrors into the future. So that's the way to do this, to really examine and bring the truth forth so we can learn the lesson of history.
And
right?
Where I'm confused
sound
is
like
where...
an intelligent guy now, John.
Where did Mitt Romney fit into that, though?
He's a Mormon.
I know he's a Mormon, but, did he have... obviously... He didn't have anything to do with it.
He's not old enough. He's not quite 150 years old. So I think we can safely say he had nothing to do with it.
But I'm talking about even when, when you were researching it or shooting it, or anything, obviously he didn't have anything to do with it. But Mitt Romney, you brought him up, and I'm curious whether...
I brought him up because it's an obvious topic that Mormon, this movie about Mormons attacking a Christian wagon train and being religious fanatics creating a scenario that allows, rationalizes the attack, the destruction of another religion.
I never heard of it. I never heard of that.
Right. So, I mean, it has to do with that. Mm-hmm. Now, does this have to do with all Mormons? Does this have to do with Mr. Romney? No.
And are you endorsing Mr. Romney as a candidate?
And what I'm saying is right now, listen, it's too early to endorse anybody for me, but I would say that he's very eloquent and he talks very, very, just listen to me, guys. Just hold on a second. He talks very accurately about what we're faced with our current enemy and the situation we're in.
Okay,
I'm appreciative of anybody who has an insight and can raise this issue in a proper way so we see what we're faced with.
Okay, well, you've made your point, and I think what your point would be that you don't like him because his head's too square.
I thought the great John Voight would be on the other side of the fence.
Oh, you mean he hasn't endorsed anybody.
No. Well, he's virtually come out and said that this guy's an idealist.
Donnie?
Yes.
Donnie?
Yes, John.
You mustn't pigeonhole me, Donnie.
Okay, I will try not to. Sir, are you a Republican?
Don't suck up to me with this great John Voight stuff. You know what I mean?
All right, are you a Republican or a Democrat, sir? A Republican or a Democrat?
Let me say this. I'm really upset about this idea of Republican Democrats being enemies to each other. I think that the real enemy is being overlooked in all this baloney, Donnie.
And who's the real enemy?
Who's that, Johnny?
Yeah, there you go. There's my boy.
All right, sir. Who is the enemy then?
You don't know who the enemy is, huh?
Right, we just say Taliban, the terrorists.
I'll define the enemy as Islamofascists.
Oh, so you
and I'm saying then this is a serious threat, and they're clever. They are clever in the use of propaganda. They can't defeat us militarily, but they are very, very effective, and they're making inroads. And we can see it in our college.
All right, let me ask you one question. I hate to interrupt you.
He is deep.
I want to say, where do you stand, really? And because it is the number one issue now, as far as whether we stay, whether we go, what the plan is if we pull out. Where are you on that, as far as Americans want us to get out of there right now?
I know they do because, of course, you know, in every war there are casualties, and we don't like to see our boys being killed. Of course we don't. But on the other hand, I must say that there's something wrong with the media that doesn't report any progress we've made in Iraq or in Afghanistan. Can you imagine this? After all these years, we never, never receive on a news program progress on what's been done and what sacrifice has been made for.
Oh, sir, the great John Voight, please don't tell me that you... I mean, you're almost sounding like...
I think, you know, there's a sumo wrestling thing that we could get into, you and I. But I just saw in the paper, we missed last week's event.
Well, that's right, the amateur sumo.
For next year.
Mm-hmm. So you and I almost could get into an O'Reilly Geraldo thing here.
We could do that.
We will not, though, sir. We will not, because I respect you too much to tell you.
No,
you're backing the wrong guy with this guy. I'm just telling you that.
With which guy?
With the guy with the money, the Mormon guy.
Wait, just a second. Let's put this aside. I made a point because I didn't want anyone to think that this film was an attack itself on this man who's running for president, because I think that's a responsible thing to say.
Well, actually, you play
now,
the Mormon.
Now, if you want to talk politics, you want to talk, you want to talk individuals and stuff like that, we can have a substantive talk about that.
Would you be willing to?
I don't want to get into this stuff where, you know, these are all Americans. Everybody's running for president is an American. I would assume we're on their side to some degree.
All right, sir.
Can I agree with that?
Yes. How about this?
Can I get an agreement with that?
Yes, of course we agree with that.
Let's be careful. These are Americans. If I was, you know, we can talk whatever we want to talk on this program, but, you know, these guys are all American people, and they're hardworking public servants, so good luck to them all.
Do you watch American Idol?
Do I watch American Idol? I've seen it a couple of times.
Do you have a particular television program that you watch that you enjoy?
You know, I watch programs that I, you know, occasionally I watch news programs. I watch, you know, I watch the Senate sometimes.
Are you a sports fan?
I am a sportsman. I watched a little bit of when I was doing some work yesterday, I watched a little of the Masters.
Okay, that's a good thing. Do you have a favorite cuisine?
You try to get me onto some subject.
Here's the deal, John.
I think it's important that we don't upset Don. I really do.
I'm not upset. I'm looking at him. He's not
upset. You're the greatest. I still love all of your movies. I love the fact that you're here. You're ready to put on this. Yes, John.
I'm interested in what your mother thinks of this conversation. Did you have a mom that gives you notes?
I hate my mother, John.
Oh, gosh, Don.
That's true, John, and I'm not saying that because of the thing with you and your daughter. I really do hate my mother.
This is another thing we have to talk about. Oh, gosh. Listen, my mother's passed on, and I tell you, I went through some things with my mom at different times in my life when I was little, arrogant pup, thought I knew stuff and all of that, and thank God I came around to making all those things right, and she was my best friend by the time she passed. She was my best friend in all the world.
Would you? Can we ask you about your relationship with your daughter now?
You can ask me anything. How is that show?
Well, how is that going? I mean, you hear a lot about it in the tabloids. You read a lot about it in the press.
Angie and I haven't spoken in a while, but you know, I always send her my love, and I'm always there for her. Absolutely, always there.
Do you see any time in the future where there would be a reconciliation there?
I see. I certainly see it happening, and I hope it happens very quickly, too.
John, I'd like to ask you, as strange or not from your daughter, what do you think about that slicky boy that she's with right now?
Wait a minute. Which one of you guys are talking now?
That's Don again.
That's Donnie.
This is Don, the slicky boy. Do you have against Brady?
Same thing he has against Mitt.
No, Mitt's got a square head.
What do you want? It's Brad is slick. Mitt's got a square head.
Yeah, Brad Pitt is just a slicky boy. Have you had the chance to sit down and meet him, shake his hand?
In Hollywood, I will tell you, in Hollywood, we're all family. We're family.
We're all just one damn family.
Okay, because you did that Southern accent, made me think again of the movie The Rainmaker.
Can we
go back there for a second?
Sure.
Because I love that film, Francis Ford Coppola, am I right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did I read correctly in that movie, it's based on the John Grisham book,
mm-hmm.
that they shot the courtroom scenes where they would move the ceilings down for some shots to make it look more dramatic?
You know, absolutely, that's the truth. Whoever said that's its truth.
That's Don again.
You know, Francis is a genius. So I don't know what the real definition of genius actually is, except that he's a person who will come up with something that no one ever heard of, and he always... You know, there's always something in the corner of his mind that has to do with technology that he wants to bring to the fore in this. And we had hydraulics on this thing. It was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And he would actually bring the ceiling down to make it look more claustrophobic. And then he'd bring it up when he wanted the kid to be intimidated by the judge on the stand and stuff like that. I don't know if it actually affected the movie, though, because the way it was shot, I don't think it had much to do with
it. It's fascinating, though. I love the book.
He has an idea and he follows it through.
And I would be, I really wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you about Deliverance, which is a movie that, it impacted me so much to see that film. It looked so grueling, the shooting of that film, to be out there. It just looked so, you know, certain movies can pull it off, certain movies can't. That was so real. Was that a difficult movie to shoot?
That was, if you can imagine, here we got a couple of young guys. I was youngish then.
Right.
In my 30s, and Burt Young was in his prime, and we had two very good young actors from the regional theater in Washington, actually. These guys came out of the arena stage with Zelda Chandler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where John Borman, the director, saw them. Anyway, here we're out there in canoes in the river in one of the most beautiful parts of the United States with a camera crew shooting us on this journey. How bad could it be, guys?
Okay, so it wasn't that bad.
But it wasn't that bad. The only thing is that we did, I remember once, we had to get to this location, which was forever into the woods, right? And then we had to drop down, you know, sometimes we take these rope ladders down to the locations with all the equipment and stuff like that. So we had to get there awfully early in the morning, way before the sun was up. And I remember one time, I was there. It was about 5:30 in the morning. The light then started to come up after we were freezing cold. Oh, you know, I'm not going to tell you that story. I'm going to tell you another story.
Why?
No, because
why?
Listen to this story.
All right.
And I look up and I see, being dropped after they cut the actors down, our chairs are being lowered with big, you know, on ropes. Ronnie Cox, John Boyd, Bert Rose. And they're following us around. We're sitting on rocks and logs and they're bringing these chairs down. So finally, the chairs come down. They're there for about 4 or 5 days. And I notice that Bert is sitting in my chair. Well, it is the name, you know, John Voight, Bert Rose. And I'm sitting on a rock, of course. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, what the hell is he doing? And this happens for about 5 days. And finally, it got to me. Do you know what I mean? And I had to say something. So I go up to Bert. I said, Bert, look. I said, we have these chairs down here. We don't need the damn chairs anyway. I said, but I've just noticed that you sit in my chair. Every day. You know what I mean? If, when you sit down, you sit in my chair. What can I ask you? You know, can I ask you why you do that? And he said, well, of course, John, I'll tell you why I do that. He said, because if I sit in your chair, I can see my name on my chair.
Oh, that's great.
He was waiting for it, you know what I mean? He did it on purpose. He was waiting for me to ask the question.
John Boyd is a crazy man, is he not?
He is. He's wonderfully crazy, yes.
John Boyd, I'm speaking of you. I know you're here.
If I'm, you're the masters of what's crazy, so if you say so, I must be.
Oh, you're a delightful guy to talk to. You really are.
This movie with John Voight, May 4th is when it opens. It's called September Dawn.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the guy who's running for president.
Nothing at all.
And John Voight is an American treasure. Even though I'm reading now, you were in Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2?
Absolutely.
Now, how bad did you need money at that point in your life?
Well, you know what that is? You know, you're such a foul person sometimes. You know, the reason why I did that movie, because I love kids. And I thought it was a movie that gave kids encouragement. You know, when they see, these movies, little babies kind of battle successfully against the adult villains. I was the adult villain, and the little babies were making me squirm and do all sorts of silly things. And so the little kids get the idea. They're empowered from it. So I thought that was a great idea. And actually, the little kids like it. The little kids think that movie's a great, hot movie.
You must have.
Babies. I'm talking about two-year-old kids.
It's like Holes, same thing. Right.
You must have been thrilled when your daughter broke up with Billy Bob, though, right?
This is a very serious question, and I would expect such a question from guys of your, you know, IQ.
Our IQ. See, in my world, I would rather have my daughter with Billy Bob than with Brad Pitt.
Oh, I'd rather have her with Brad Pitt.
I got a daughter who's 29 years old.
Well, listen, I don't want to get into the, you know, what does your mother say? This is the thing. What does your mother say?
I hate my mother, John.
I know, but what does she say?
She says, go to hell. My mother says, go to hell.
I can tell you, I can sum it up what my mom says, John, all right? Well, there was one time when we were going to get an affiliate very close to my hometown in New England. Mm-hmm. And I called my mom to tell her, and she responded with 90 seconds of silence. Does that sum it up for you?
I guess so.
Okay.
Well, John, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. Really,
and for me too, guys. Really, really, really
fantastic talent you are.
You're really a great guy, and join us on the show anytime.
You are
John
great,
Voight.
John Voight.
Okay, guys. Much, much love.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you,
God
John.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
John Voight, he's as nutty as a fruitcake.
Oh, he's fun. Did you get the impression we could have done that for, you know,
yeah,
an
for like
hour,
another
four and a
hour.
Half hours?
He called you Donnie.
Movie star John Voight called you Donnie.
That's right. Johnny Voight.
Wanted to sumo wrestle you.
Johnny Voight.
If only he was more interesting.
And good for us, we did manage to ask about not only Angelina Jolie, but also about Billy Bob.
Yeah. you get that Billy Bob in there right at the wire.
Oh, he's creepy.
She seriously would prefer Billy Bob to Brad Pitt?
Yep. I trust Billy Bob. How weird does this sound? Yeah. I trust, if it was with my daughter, I would trust Billy Bob Thornton not to break her heart before I would trust Brad Pitt not to break her heart.
Oh, I know why that is. I just figured it out.
Why?
It's the whole Aniston thing. That's what it is.
No,
I was wondering.
Nothing to do with Aniston.
It's the Aniston thing that you love. You might not even know it yourself. It's the Aniston thing.
No, it's
you love Jennifer Aniston.
No, it's not. No,
you
it's
still
not.
Have her picture up there. It's there every day.
Every day.
She is the woman of your dreams, is she not?
Yes.
And Brad Pitt broke her heart.
He only ruined her vagina. He only ruined her vagine.
Vagine. Come on, Tone.
All right. Well, thank you very much to the great John Voight.
Bit all over the place, but I thought he was an interesting dude.
Delightful. Got a break. We'll be right back. Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, let's hear a word from Hill.
This week, I'd like to talk about something that's close to my heart. You know, as parents, we're supposed to fight children. And I think you all know that I have the scars to prove it. And that means keeping them sick and keeping them vulnerable. Well, when I'm president, we will have over 6 million uninsured kids across our country. And, you know, they're not her kids or his kids or their kids. They're the first Clinton administration's kids. Thank you for listening, and let's keep the conversation going.
Thank you, Eric.
You got it.
Way over the line, guys. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Look at the Azalea Line fairways at Augusta.
All right, now, you know, we do have all of the Jim Nance tape,
right?
What the hell is this?
Hold on a second.
That is quite obviously the wrong cut.
No, that sounded like classic country.
Don, that's the first right cut you've played all day.
Connie Francis?
Love her.
Doing a country song.
Yes, everybody's somebody's
fool.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
That's hot as balls.
Theater of the Mindless. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, Katie?
That's so gay.
Oh. How about you, Paul Sr.?
And seeing that Chris is one of those guys that specializes in antique bikes, I also asked him to restore a few Indians that I just picked up recently.
We have so many American chopper tapes now.
Which is a nice detail.
With the couples talking the way we love them talking.
Especially when they're getting serious.
So I'm really looking forward to see how it's all going. And I'm kind of excited to see some of his stuff in his own collection, too.
And you know, after talking to John Voight, we found out he was really okay talking about his dog.
No problem at all. So we decided that we'd get on board with the cause for Mormons in America.
You know what? To me, I'm like a kid in a candy store when I be around stuff like this. You know, I could stare at these bikes for hours.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me just put those American chopper tapes away until tomorrow because we have 8,000 of those.
When I'm not staring at my fabulous guns.
The Jim Nance Masters closing tapes yesterday.
Well, it was, again, a most unusual week here at Augusta.
Another one.
Replete with memories.
Homo.
The cold weather, the high winds,
God.
And the incredible resolve of one Zach Johnson,
who the
world really discovered today. This was at the eighth hole.
Nobody does it like Jimmy.
No, what? I had a dream last night.
Zach Johnson.
That's so gay.
You know who's a real hero?
Who?
Hero. From Heroes. That's the hero. Also Bono.
The show's gonna be fun, man.
Mm-hmm. And do you have all the Imus tapes?
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
You know, we've not
bad
even
week for Imus.
He makes a lot of sense.
We've not even talked about this poor MF-er today. I don't know. It sounds to me like Imus is doing the same type of show he's always done.
Right.
He said something about nappy-headed basketball players, and today he's on the Al Sharpton show, and he's apologizing, and he's saying, "I'm so sorry, and I'm awful, and I'm not a bad person. No, wait, I am a bad person. I didn't mean it. No, I did mean it. Well, no, I didn't mean
show's
it."
Not, I heard him say something like, "The show's not going to be like it's been for the last 30 years." So, I mean, and when I heard that coming from him,
yeah.
Does he strike you as the, I mean, obviously there's a strong self-preservation sense for everybody in this business. With him, I don't know, when he made that statement, it was almost like, you know, 2 days ago he kind of blew it off, and now he's making these sincere apologies. Does it sound to you like the corporate guys have gotten to him?
Yeah, and it sounds to me like, see, I would think that he would get a pass because he makes a lot of money for the company, and he's been doing it a long time. Really, what he said is not as bad, for instance, as what
The Grease Man said.
Yeah, the Grease Man has done it like two or three times.
The Grease Man got fired because he said something that was racially insensitive, and he had no ratings and no revenue behind him,
right.
So it was easy to get rid of him at that point. I would think that would be Imus's out on this, the fact that he's a good earner for the company, and he's got a big deal with them, but the climate that we're working at in radio right now is so freaking scary. Yeah.
That people can turn up the pressure very, very effectively.
All right, here's what he said the other last week on a show.
So I watched the basketball game last night between a little bit of Rutgers and Tennessee, the women's final.
Yeah, Tennessee won last night, 7th championship for Pat Summitt. I, man, they beat Rutgers by 13 points.
Some rough girls from Rutgers, man. They got tattoos and some hardcore hoes.
That's some nappy-headed hoes there, I'm going to tell you that now.
Okay, that's the first time I've heard it in its entirety.
You know, and to my ears, that sounds like nothing that I've not heard, you know, on the Imus show for the longest amount of time.
I think anybody that listens to that show would tell you that he has been doing that for a long time. It's the climate the way it is right now.
Here's the Friday apology.
Okay. I'll take a moment to apologize for an insensitive and ill-conceived remark we made the other morning referring to the Rutgers women's basketball team. It was completely inappropriate, and we can understand why people were offended. Our characterization was thoughtless and stupid. So, and we're sorry.
That sounds to me like a decent apology.
Yeah. The way that I was
following this, I thought it was more flip when I heard it
last week. The first response was, hey, it was a joke made by a stupid guy on a radio show.
Yeah, get over it.
Then the second response was, well, hold on a second. I do an awful lot for charity. Then the third response was that one. And then even after that one didn't work, and now he's being thrown out there where he's on the Al Sharpton show today, and he's having to talk to Jesse Jackson. Here is now this morning's Imus apology.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Please, wow. You did what you've been doing on your radio show, dude, for, as far as I can tell, the entire time you've had a radio show.
They got to him. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you can tell, that this guy has been feeling amazing amounts of pressure. You can tell by the whole tone in his voice.
Listen to the whole thing, for goodness sakes. Almost makes me feel sad for him.
Yeah, I mean, he said so many nice things about us over the years.
radio.
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing. But I'm a good person. And that will change. I wasn't drunk. I'm not some angry, raving nut on a nightclub stage. And I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. But I said a bad thing.
My God.
It's not enough to say, well, we were kidding around. But we were kidding around.
Exactly.
But that doesn't change it.
It did.
Here's what I've learned. That you can't make fun of everybody because some people don't deserve it.
Oh my God.
And
has this guy been neutered?
Well, it sounds like it. I just, wherever you line up on this particular issue, I just get a kick out of hearing Imus.
Yeah.
Because the climate on this program has been what it's been for 30 years doesn't mean that it has to be that way for the next 5 years or whatever, because that has to change.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty big deal.
All right, dude. Well, I guess that we'll have the audio tomorrow of him on Al Sharpton. I was just reading something online that said on InsideRadio.com that said he lost his temper a little bit today when he was on with Al Sharpton.
So, oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He sounds so different in that second tape. He almost sounds like Paul Harvey. I mean, he sounds much older.
I'm sorry.
Imus, you just filled your adult diaper.
I'm sorry I did that.
I know.
I'm embarrassed that I did that.
I know.
I did a bad thing.
I know. You're sitting there. You've got your cowboy hat on. You're eating your sesame seeds. And look.
Stupid idiot.
You've just filled your adult diaper.
I'm sorry I did that.
You should be.
I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Go to your ranch.
I did a bad thing.
Oh, my God.
So he lost his temper today on Al Sharpton's show. That's what you heard.
That's what I just read. Hmm. I never thought that we'd be in the position to defend Don Imus. But for goodness sake,
you know what it is, and I was saying this to somebody, you get to a point where in this business, they want us to do these kind of shows, they want us to be provocative, they want us to be controversial, and then, you know, they say, well, that, you can't do that.
Right. It is a double standard that's really starting to piss me off, and here are the rules now, as far as playing a game where you're talking about someone who's different than you. If you're black, you're allowed to use the N-word. If you're white or anything else...
I understand that.
You're not. Hold on a second, Mike, because I'm going to go down a whole different...
Okay.
Not only that, even talking about black culture, you're okay if you're black, but if you're not, you better watch it. Just like if you're a Jew, you can make a joke about Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay because... you're a Jew.
But that's a rule that's been around for a long time.
But now it's being magnified to the point where, you know, to my ears, the guy said nothing more than he says any other day. You go up and down the dial, you're 25,000.
But what I was saying, when you brought up the N-word, that's the rule. That's the way it's been forever. That's the, you know, that's a hard and fast rule that's easy to, you know, what it is, you get into... You get into a situation where the gray areas are very, very confusing. When you talk about rap music and some of the music that you hear now and what is said during those, yes, there is a different standard.
You can only even comment on something different and offer up something that's not absolutely 100% PC if you're a member of that group. Otherwise, you better keep your freaking mouth shut. You just better not say anything that's going to piss off anybody. Don't say anything about gay people. Don't say anything about straight people. Don't say anything about blacks. Don't say anything about Hispanics. Don't say anything about lesbians. Don't say anything about old people. It's like, God, what happened to the good old days?
Mm-hmm.
And the good old days, incidentally, hello, everybody, they were not so good.
Right.
When we now look back at what were the good old days of free speech, you know, they used to throw a blanket on us constantly, and by us I mean... our industry.
You know, here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand, and I freely admit that I don't understand it. You know, you say, man, he's done that for 30 years. Why now? And I'm not sure whether two things are at play here, whether it's the climate we're in or what those words that he used to a certain group of people hit a particular nerve. I don't know, because I'm not there, and I don't know why people are reacting the way they are. I think it could be a combination of both. Both the climate and the fact that the way he did it, and hearing the tape for the first time, just the way it was said. You know, we deal with race, you in particular deal with race on this show all the time. It's done in a way that's different. It's right. Never done like that. When I heard that, just the way it came out, it was just like out of nowhere. Didn't find it particularly funny.
But see, that's, you know, but he's right, though. It's absolutely in tune with the way he has done his particular
absolutely
show.
He's done it for a long time,
for all of those years.
So that's the thing. I don't know whether what he said because of the words that were used, the specific words used, just hit a nerve. Because obviously this thing, you know, he's been doing that. I mean, you could go back, couldn't you? You get tapes of Imus and find something every month that would offend a group of people.
To answer your question, Mike, Jesse Jackson says what he has seen in Imus is a pattern of behavior in recent years. Making fun of Venus and Serena Williams, Maya Angelou, he's made fun of.
Well, you know what? That's what it was with Grease Man, too.
You're right.
It was a pattern.
Here's Jesse Jackson.
Well, we should accept his apology and his resignation. I mean, you're on NBC. You're on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
So what? The fact is you have the platform to use that platform to use unlimited flow of bigotry. The front of these intelligent young black women assholes.
You know, and really... if I could get somebody, please, arguing the other side who doesn't have a dog in this race, if I could get Al Sharpton who's not trying to promote his own goddamn radio show, if I could get Jesse Jackson who's not trying to promote whatever it is he's always out there trying to promote.
There are a lot of people talking about it right now, and I would like to hear, you know, some more analysis on this, because I really don't know. I don't understand. You know, God knows we try to figure it out every day. I mean, that's what we do on this show. You don't know what's going to happen. Would you not agree, though? And we felt this way at the time. When Grease Man, what he did was a pattern of specific comments that were, and they were all, you know, two of them, at least I remember, involved somebody being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, come on, use your goddamn brain in that particular situation. Yep. This
I'm totally confused by. I'm totally confused that it blasted onto the national stage right. because of the nature of that show. And you know,
are Pollock jokes still okay?
I hear that they're not.
Is it okay to tell Pollock jokes still?
I
hate to piss off any of you Pollocks out there.
Well, you know, I watched a movie, an old movie, that movie Sophie's Choice. They used that word throughout that movie. Is that right? Yeah, then you get into the whole thing on what can be said, where you can say it.
You can say it if you're Polish. Right. But you can't say it if you're not Polish.
Who knows?
Please.
I'm Polish. Sake.
I'm very, very sorry. Hi, everybody. This is Don and Mike.
Don and Mike?
We're very, very old and very, very sorry.
I'm sorry I did that.
Are you?
I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
He went to the bathroom in his pants.
I think I'm going to go home. And take a nap now.
All right, man.
I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to take the long, eternal sleep.
Of the damned.
Of the dead.
Well, it may not be the correct political position to be in. I'm behind him. For God's sakes. You know, hey, if they don't like it, don't you have enough money for now, for God's sakes? Go to your ranch and die, Imus.
He says he won't resign. He's not going to resign over this.
Won't resign. Okay.
No.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
His resignation is going to involve a hole with a rock on it.
God.
Yes.
Do you think it's popular to vilify Shock Jock?
But really, has anybody talked about that? Uh-huh. Are we not the designated target
for
the world... When there are so many racial issues that we should deal with in this country that are more serious, but who do you put out there? Say, you know, send out the shock jock and fire him. You know what that's going to do?
And
on a large scheme of things, it's not.
Nothing.
It's like a shock jock that's got one foot in the grave, incidentally.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please.
But, I mean, honest to God, how long have we known that? I mean, really. You know, throw the shock jock. You know, well, let's laugh at him. Let's give him great ratings. Let's enjoy every day. But, man, hey, when it's time to pile on, it's like throw him into the back, you know, into the yard with the pit bulls, because that's the way it works.
We support him and his right to free speech, and if the company wants to fire him, we would take his job.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Don. We'll be right back with Charlie's News.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City, if they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right, Don and Mike?
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Las Vegas, hello.
The Don and Mike Show.
All right, so Imus, again, you filled that adult diaper.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
He's a jackass.
The worst thing on the radio. The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you.
I'm mocking you, dork.
Tomorrow, got to make sure we talk about Kim Jong-il eating giant rabbits.
Yes. Really?
About that.
Is that Bobby Lee as Kim Jong-il?
No, the real Kim Jong-il.
Eating giant rabbits?
For his birthday.
Rabbits.
For his birthday. Also tomorrow. Oh, I've just started to get into all of the American Chopper tapes.
Uh-huh.
Here's some Paul Sr.
So we're in the middle of building a vintage bike for my...
Paul Jr.
Paulie.
So we're in the middle of building a vintage bike for my father, and we were on the way back from taking care of some business in the city. And since we had to stop at Ted's V-Twin for some stuff anyway, we decided to take a tour of some of the old bikes they have here for a little inspiration.
That is so exactly what we're talking about.
Paulie, here's what you need to read today. This is what you're going to say. Remember when you stopped? Yeah, we looked at the shop to look at the bikes.
Then as it was time for Buzz to do the news, we thought it would be a good idea.
Buzz enlightens a lot of people and helps a lot of people with his news of the day, which is a nice detail.
You know, I really got to hand it to Ted's for maintaining such a cool collection of old bikes.
There it is. He's the better one than his father.
That is a private joy. Tomorrow, we'll get to that. Also tomorrow, TV's greatest fat man. Big list about that.
All right.
Big extensive thing about all the different types of kryptonite. I'm goddamn serious.
It's about time.
And Out Magazine ranks the top 50 gays.
It's about time.
Gay.
Top 50. Is it power? Showbiz legends?
Looks. What looks?
What is it?
Like just or just overall good guys?
The top 50 gays.
Best all around.
Mm-hmm. Top 50 gays.
Okay. Right. Top 50. Right, we look forward.
We'll get a feel for it when you get into that list.
Number two is Anderson Cooper.
Hi.
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
According to.
I didn't even know he was out.
Out Magazine.
I don't think he is.
Well, this
I didn't even know he was gay. What am I saying? You know, when I say I didn't know he was out, that's like I'm in the club. I'm in the life.
Oh, my God. He's surrounded.
Well, I am. Now the truth is out.
He's surrounded because it's Rosie O'Donnell, Barney Frank, Tim Gill, Ellen DeGenitals, Anderson Cooper, and your number one gay is David Geffen.
Well, now you've spoiled it. I thought David Geffen would be at the top of the list.
Well, I've
45
I've gone through numbers, number 7 through 50, for goodness sakes.
Who's number 2?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
How are you anyway?
I'm well.
Hey, I hear your vacation just sucked ass.
Oh, it couldn't have been nicer.
I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry I did that.
It's all right.
I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Yes, you did. 3 million people did not return to watching American Idol this year. 31 million watched last season. This season, 28 million.
I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
This is not news because it's not really a problem. Idol producer Simon Lithgow is right when he says even if we lost 50% of our audience, we'd still be in the top 3 shows.
His name is Simon Lithgow?
Yes.
Oh.
Why settle when you can select?
Vagina.
And he now just coasts. He's not in danger anyway.
They don't even play with him anymore.
No, they don't.
He's like, yeah, Sanjaya, you're safe. Go.
KFC has just offered him a big pile of money, Sanjaya, to get a bowl over your head type haircut and do a KFC commercial.
Sanjaya.
Doing all right. But because millions of people, tens of millions of people, plan their lives around Idol every week, we want to know why when 3 million decide to disappear. Lithgow's answer? Daylight savings time, which started 3 weeks earlier this year. Lithgow says TV ratings always go down once daylight savings time kicks in.
That don't make no sense.
I don't get it either, but that's what he says. He's British, you know, and they're not on board, by the way, with the new early daylight savings time.
Ain't it dark when that show comes on? Isn't it already sun gone down after that on the East Coast?
8P or 9P?
9P, well, 8P or 8P probably still have some sun, but I just don't reckon I don't know.
Yeah. The ratings for the Wednesday...
What not?
Exactly. The ratings of the Wednesday results shows have been especially weak this year, with the most recent Wednesday night results show being the lowest rated of the season.
Gosh, now, just like Ivis, I feel the need to stand up and defend my American Idol.
Well, yes,
while it may be off a bit,
I said that.
Ain't it still the number one most watched show on TV?
I said that before I said anything else.
I certainly loved Michael Bublé's performance last week.
There's trouble in the midst because Tony Bennett got the flu.
I know, that was sad.
How'd you like to see him throwing up?
Tony's not feeling well.
He got the herpetic flu.
Led to the porcelain god.
I'm sure it'll be fine.
Hey, listen. I love all you cats over at Idol, but unfortunately, I got it coming out both ends.
You got the toupee flu?
I won't be coming to your show tonight. Excuse me, gotta run, and I mean run, baby. Whoa.
Tony Bennett.
Thank you, Buzzy.
Nancy Pelosi would be the president today if it weren't for a guy from the Ford Motor Company. As you may have heard, President Bush nearly blew himself up last week, along with Dick Cheney, during a demonstration of a new hydrogen electric hybrid car.
Oh, no!
Ford gave the president the honor of plugging in the car, but Ford didn't give him the instructions.
He's a jackass.
W tried to plug the electrical cord into the fuel tank, which could have set off a miniature nuclear explosion. Or, as the president and Jack Bauer pronounce it, nuclear. A CEO from Ford intervened, and today his heroism is all over the news, or
did Ford try to kill the president by not telling him where to put the plug?
I didn't know this had happened.
Remember, Lincoln got plugged at Ford's theater.
Mm-hmm.
Spring break and the air travel. What? Hold on.
Let him have his due.
He had a working vacation.
That's right.
Thank you, Tom.
What was that about Lincoln again, Buzz?
He got plugged in Ford's theater. Never mind.
Right.
Spring break and the air travel that goes with it have mostly faded out, but Northwest Airlines...
Buzz?
Yes?
My bone has a mind of its own.
His what has a mind of its own?
His bone.
His bone. Can I hear
my
that?
My bone has a mind of its own.
Well, who hasn't been there?
I'm mocking you, dork.
Northwest Airlines, after this is all over, after all the spring travel, is trying to figure out what to do with the captain who swears like a sailor. As folks were boarding a flight from Las Vegas to Detroit, the captain was in the plane's front lavatory talking to somebody on his cell phone. People in the seats nearby could hear every effing word this guy said, including that one. One of them complained. The pilot then swore at the complainer. The complainer must have called the police because they took the pilot away for questioning. They say he didn't appear to have been drinking.
Jeez, I mean, if a pilot can't use the F word.
You know what? I know we're running short on time here, but when you mentioned that they called in,
right.
Something that I read over the weekend, I know this happens all the time, Mike, and you can speak to this, how idiotic it is that some douchebag is watching the Masters golf tournament on Friday, and because Phil Mickelson's bag is sitting in a location.
Unattended?
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I guess he was making a shot,
yeah.
And his caddy came over and set the bag down.
Right.
Somebody watching on TV said, that is a rules violation.
Oh, because it's like an alignment thing?
Because the shadow helped the placement of the ball.
Oh,
so,
God.
So some anonymous dickhead...
And there are millions of them out there.
...calls up CBS,
uh-huh.
And they say to the guy, okay, we'll take this seriously. They call Phil Mickelson in, and they look at the videotape.
Mm-hmm.
And they make him look at it, and they make him say, no, I was not trying to get a competitive advantage by having my bag there. I just find the concept incredible.
It ought to be illegal. I think it really should. I mean, the fact that somebody can call in, and because it's happened to a lot of guys. The guy that reminds me of, I think it was Craig Stadler, put a golf towel under us. He didn't want to mess up his pants, so he put a golf towel under his knee when he was sitting under a tree, mm-hmm. And they called and said that was, a violation.
That's a report I read. Somebody watching on TV says, hey, I think Phil Mickelson broke a rule. And instead of, like, hanging up on the guy and saying, go to hell, they say, okay, we'll get right on it, sir.
Mm-hmm. I think we should be more concerned with his other bag.
Thank you.
When we return...
Wait a minute. Hold on. I really require... Maybe
Phil
it's because
Mickelson's
of...
Phil bag? You know? Wink, wink.
Colostomy?
Yes.
Or Amy? Amy Mickelson?
She's with the hottest wife on tour.
Not that bag. His sack. Phil Mickelson's bag.
Well, like his testicles?
Yes. That's what I thought when you said his bag.
It doesn't work. I thought it was pitchy.
You did think it was pitchy?
I thought it was very, very pitchy.
I withdraw. I'm going to go help Mr. Bennett at the toilet.
Thank you, Robbish. That's a crappy joke.
I just wasn't feeling it, Rob.
Hone and refine your skills for tomorrow.
And I'll finish wrapping up Easter and spring break when we return.
Okay, thank you, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Couple of jockstrap characters, Don and Mike.
It's great to be back from our break. Our website's up and running. Hit it if you like, donandmikeswebsite.com. And the Cougar MILF edition of Strip Trivia is going to happen. We got to come up with a softer way of selling it.
Mm-hmm. We're looking for beautiful... older women.
Well, that's kind of what we got to, like, just put, like, an age limit, 35 and older, perhaps.
Right. We're looking for spectacular, mature women who are comfortable with their nudity.
Talking to Yanni, says we got a lot of emails, but a lot of women who do not want to be known either as cougars
of course.
Or MILFs.
Right. Absolutely, and who could blame them? But mature women...
Well, Robbie, sensitive. Is 35 in the rearview mirror?
Then come to see us. Come in.
That's not soft.
That is very
No, you misogynistic hump. It is
very
not
hard.
So.
No, that's nice.
That's
it is,
hard.
It is not kind, Rob. You're so used to abusing.
Yeah. What I've done.
That, yes.
I've turned it into a metaphor.
35
Rob,
in the rearview mirror is a negative.
I want you to think of, I want you to think of a woman and a man. I want you to
is
think
the
of,
man got a chain?
I want you to think of Tony Soprano in bed last night.
Before or after the fight.
I'm talking about with Carm.
Right.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
When she's giving him his special birthday.
Right.
Happy birthday.
My handsome man.
My handsome man.
And a nice big kiss on the mouth.
And then a bit of scope.
Oh, God.
Scope from a lady.
No, she didn't. They went to sleep.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, she got the worst of that deal.
You bet your butt she did.
No wonder she only does that once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's back to being heavy again. You can tell with his breathing.
Happy birthday.
My handsome man.
Do we have a tape of that?
Not that event, no.
Not that scene? Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you at home.
Here's a guy who had a really bad vacation, our friend Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi there.
Yesterday was Easter, so police in East Hartford, Connecticut were not too surprised to see a big stuffed bunny in the passenger seat of a car they'd stopped for running a red.
So literally next door to my hometown.
They were also, the police, were also very sure that the grass they were smelling wasn't made of shredded green cellophane.
That's very close to my hometown, too.
They found 16 bags inside the bunny, Peter Cottonmouth. And it wouldn't be spring break without putting the founder of Girls Gone Wild behind bars. Late last week, exactly. A federal judge in Florida ordered Joe Francis last week jailed for contempt of court. Joe was in court to be sued by seven women who say his camera crew placed them in sexually explicit situations.
You know what I say to those girls?
You are never to blame.
That's right.
You are never to blame.
One more time, ladies.
You may feel shame, but all the same.
That's right.
You are never to blame.
I didn't picture you singing it to them with a big white turtleneck.
Who was buried in Smith's womb? We may find out tomorrow. The paternity of Anna Nicole Smith's daughter, Daniel Lynn, will apparently be announced at a paternity hearing tomorrow.
That time.
TMZ.com reports that whatever the outcome, Anna Nicole's men are sticking together. The celebrity news website says the current legal dad, Howard K. Stern, will not challenge the court's ruling if it doesn't go his way.
Quit smelling my belly button.
TMZ also says that Howard K. Stern will help Larry Birkhead keep the little girl away from Anna Nicole's mother, Virgie Arthur.
Sounds to me like it's a foregone conclusion.
Is everybody happy?
Almost. Kind of ironic, isn't it, that O.J. Simpson is now trying to stop Fred Goldman from publishing If I Did It? O.J. wrote the book with a helper to make money. The father of one of O.J.'s victims went to court to keep Simpson from collecting. A few years back, court ordered O.J. to pay the Goldmans over $33 million for the wrongful death of Nicole and her friend Ron Goldman.
Right.
O.J. said he didn't have it on him, so he was ordered to turn over his future earnings as they roll in. Ron's dad, Fred, recently sued for and won the rights to the book, which he now plans to sell at auction, and he plans to apply the profit to O.J.'s $33 million debt. O.J.'s lawyers say they are taking steps to keep that from happening. And Tom Cruise has found a way to win back the hearts and minds of moviegoers around the world. Play a Nazi. To his credit, Tom will play a Nazi who tried to kill Hitler.
I'm a Nazi Scientologist.
That ties in. Tom Cruise would play a man who in Germany is a hero for trying to kill Hitler. So playing a Nazi could breathe new life into Cruise's crashed career.
Nah, it's not the same thing. He's playing a guy trying to kill Hitler.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
So it's a Nazi, and especially in Germany where they hate Scientology, this could improve his standing. They always give Tom a hard time about Scientology whenever he passes through Germany to promote a movie. Now, here's how you know you've picked a bad nursing home for your 90-year-old dad who has Alzheimer's.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
No.
I did a bad thing.
I know, you only win your diaper, Dad.
Yes, get back in the nursing home.
Here's what happens if you put Dad in the wrong nursing home. A rat crawls into his mouth and dies there. It happened to Sigmund Bach of Mission Viejo, California. About 3 weeks ago, a staff member at the Paragon Gardens Assisted Living and Memory Care Community noticed Siggy playing with a rat that had crawled out of his wall.
Oh, I'd have killed him. I'm sure I would have killed him.
The staff member did nothing about this, perhaps because this care community had placed rat traps here and there to address the problem. What could possibly go wrong? Well, unless a rat eats the poison in the trap and then crawls into the sleeping man's mouth and dies there.
Oh, Buzz.
This was discovered by another staff member who felt guilty and told the family that is now suing the care community. The owner says the old man probably put the rat in his mouth. A 71-year-old who wandered away from that home last year still has not been found.
Wow. How come the guy wake up when the rat crawls into his mouth?
He seemed to be nonplussed by it.
I think Carm Soprano had a dead rat in her mouth last night.
Happy birthday.
Finally, because no other charges seem to fit, the perp in this case was charged with aggressive solicitation. In Myrtle Beach, Florida, a 24-year-old guy was spotted photographing the ass of a girl in a short jean skirt when she bent over to try on shoes at Aeropostale. He says he was just following the girl to give her a business card for his hip-hop R&B music.
I like rape.
The camera, as he explained it, doesn't even work.
Oh.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Oh, that's silly. Buzz.
Right? Stop that. It's silly.
Too silly?
Very silly indeed.
Okay. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No. No.
That's it, everybody. Well, one show down. Yeah. One perfect show down.
Perfect. Another perfect show.
How does we just rerun this tomorrow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or how about we meet back in 20 hours and do it all over again?
Very good.
See you then, everybody. Good day to you, sir.
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 What is the song? Where's the melody?
You know.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
You just went poopy in your pants.
You're in trouble, baby bird.
Yeah, thank you, John Boyd. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Put it right
out of here.
This is the Don and Mike Show.